Coming live.
All right. Welcome, Brad Dillon, to the Technocrat
Welcome
Live.
Me, thanks.
Brad is a longtime friend of mine, and can you believe we've been talking for already a half an hour?
I can.
Yeah, I always do that shtick in the middle of the show, so we had just been goofing around, and I mean, I don't think I've got anything left in the tank.
I got here early. We didn't finish Hangman.
He's been playing Hangman with himself.
That's just not true.
Yeah, you have, man. You know, is this an attack on my credibility? I will not stand for it.
Oh, speaking of which, so I know this is a live show and it's on the internet, right? So, and the internet saves everything forever.
Right.
So, a couple disclaimers. At any point, anything I say might be a complete fabrication, a bold-faced lie, or generally BS.
Right. Right.
You want to say that? Put that out there now.
Okay. So let's just go with this. Everything we say is a lie, and good luck untangling that logical web. Logic is overrated, man, because you could just make blanket statements like that, and how do you fix it?
Right?
You could literally break the universe with one bad line of code.
Although,
is that the difference? Is that how we know we're not in the Matrix, right?
Because I spin things and everything.
Because if the first time you said it, is everything a lie, the whole Matrix would just break.
Right, yeah, we can't have that.
Yeah, so, I don't know, but then again, maybe it's just better written. Maybe the person who wrote an entire Matrix where all the humans reside is smarter than us.
Imagine that.
Don't
figure.
Couldn't be. All right, so anyway, welcome. See, this is what's been happening. We've been you missed so much banter. Don't panic.
Oh, sorry.
They're just light waves. They can't hurt you.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Which one's the camera that's looking at me?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, that's okay.
Now you're making me nervous. Sorry.
My show. I'm going to make you nervous.
So I've got some news, some tech news for you guys. There was a little bit of scheduling chaos. I was going to have some guys on, and they couldn't make it this show, and Brad was kind enough to come on. But I just wanted to give a shout out. I'm not sure when they're going to come on, so I just wanted to give a shout out to the Everyday Nonsense podcast, which with Matt and Mike. So I really wanted to have them on and like to say, hey, these guys are great. So they're great. Look them up. Go watch them. And hopefully they'll come on one of these days. Hey, guys, I hope you're doing well. Thanks for the Technocrat Live playlist. I don't know if you know this, but I have a music playlist of Technocrat-appropriate songs.
That's funny. I did not know that.
And they're from all different genres. It's just a total train wreck as far as consistency, but I don't care. I'm just a ruthless dictator when it comes to, like, you know, what songs are going to be in there. So if you have any suggestions, keep them coming. So gotcha. I've got like 9 songs on there now. So
anything from Skid Row or
no?
All right, you're right.
No, you're just going to talk about.
Don't worry.
You're going to talk about Skid Row the whole time. Is that what you're going to do? Yeah. Well, I did advertise. This is the guy that knocked the microphone out of Sebastian Bach's hand. And in fairness, it wasn't totally your fault.
It was not my fault at all.
He was just like, oh, I'm just going to be a rock dude, and I'm going to crowd surf up to the stage of a band I really like.
It wasn't even my idea.
I don't know if I'd buy that.
I think it was like you and somebody else.
This is
like,
just going to be 3 hours of us trying to ruin each other. He just kicked the microphone right out of Sebastian Bach's hand.
I went up and I slapped him in the mouth and said, why are you singing?
And he said, the people in New York are crazy!
So, when I was mentioning things about bold-faced lies,
that
was something about this. It's more
that was that story was 80% true.
There's more.
It was the limelight, too, so now I've dated myself. Now I've completely ruined the show.
Right.
Although they did make a reference to the limelight in what the heck is that show on Adult Swim? With the two boys and the cartoon, where everything else was the cartoon. What is wrong with me?
Loud House? I don't know.
No, not Loud House.
Loud House. Sorry. I have children.
So what you're saying is you just watch daytime cartoons all day long. And you know, do you miss Hanna-Barbera?
I do.
Hanna-Barbera was... So I have a secret about Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and actually I was really like excited about learning the cartoon suite that I learned to do the Technocrat Live cartoon. There's going to be more of them coming.
Nice.
Which is the thing that Hanna-Barbera was really doing that made them stand out. It wasn't that they were superior cartoonists, although they were good. It's that they used all, they figured out all these techniques to streamline cartooning.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a huge opportunity here for someone to do another Hanna-Barbera. Someone who's a computer geek and also uses one of the various fairly good open source cartooning software. I suck. I'm a terrible artist. I just did it a lot. I literally Shakespeared it. Mm-hmm. I just did a million monkeys, mm-hmm. and then one of them was good. You know?
There
so,
you go.
You know, and that was, but like someone who actually could draw and get it right the first time, you could probably crank out a cartoon a day with a combination of algorithms and good art. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm amazed there aren't more internet cartoons.
They did that with Space Ghost, too. I mean, I guess that Space Ghost fall into the Hanna-Barbera world.
Right. Well, they were all like, they had like hundreds of cartoons. Mm. They had literally hundreds. You only heard about dozens of them.
I miss Thundar the Barbarian.
They had hundreds of what's that?
That was Hanna-Barbera.
It was Hanna-Barbera? Mm-hmm. Okay. Was that late? That was late Hanna-Barbera.
It might have been a little bit.
It was different in like the late 70s and the 80s. We're getting away from that. Kind of, basically, they just threw spaghetti at every wall just to see what would stick.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we were both Saturday morning cartoon people.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I figured he was going to deny it and just try to make me a liar again.
Not this time.
All right. Yeah, no. Good. Right. Take that.
I made you a liar out of making me think people are going to think you're a liar.
Well, no. You see, you can't make me a liar about me making you a liar about me making you a liar.
Yes,
does that
I can.
Make sense? I don't know. Whatever.
This is entails. You don't need to blow away philosophy.
Maybe we do. Maybe we don't even know what we're doing. We're just babbling coherently for 3 hours. We haven't even started on the wine yet. More news. So, so I don't know if you've been to the Maker Faire at all, but apparently the Maker Faire is effectively bankrupt. They aren't officially bankrupt yet, so don't write angry notes in the comments.
That's too bad.
You can write angry notes in the comments. We'll just ignore them. But if you write nice notes, we'll say flowery things. We might read them on the air. But they kind of went bust, and they laid everybody off. So it was actually Make Magazine was the one that ran it,
okay.
and they had a whole staff that they did all these Maker Faires all over the place, and they just. So I'm really excited about the prospect of maybe more local maker things coming up because mm-hmm. I know there's already a few and maybe they can become bigger.
Yeah,
because I love local.
It's
man.
Cool stuff, man.
But anyway, so. Yeah. Have you been to any of the Maker Faires?
I have not. I bought a Raspberry Pi, but I didn't make anything with it.
That's a damn shame.
We started, but
we have just take your kids because I mean it's completely bonkers, you know, when they have like you know some kind of crazy Mindstorm set up or
nice.
You know seeing small children playing with red hot soldering irons.
Yikes!
It's awesome. There's nothing quite like that.
I'm not a maker.
You know they could just do breadboards, but no, I see smoke coming out from the tent. And I'm like, that's what I'm talking about.
That's the real deal.
Hardcore heavy metal all the way. And literally heavy metal because it's, you know, the best solder's lead. So, yeah.
That's like the old-timey maker stuff.
Yeah. Well, everyone's dressed up in steampunk. Why not go full throttle?
Hell, yeah. Why not?
Yeah. All right, so, this is really cool. So, if you haven't heard about this, check it out. Look up the Orbis Ring Gear Wheel Conversion. So, the Orbis, what this is somebody figured out how to put an electric motor and integrate it into a hub for, you know, they have to replace the hub on your car. But if you don't know this, the hub on your car, typically they're just four bolts. They're just really big bolts.
Do I put it on the screen for them or no?
Well,
can you project it up on here?
No.
I can't.
He's not a magical person.
I'm on their website.
Oh, you're on their website?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, you can put it up there. What the hell? I don't care.
He just called you not magical.
And then, maybe he's magical. It's not, he might be magical, but this might not be the time to reveal it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Look at you trying to prematurely magical people. They're not ready.
I didn't know. I didn't realize. I'm sorry. A person's like, magic is their own thing.
Can you come on every week? Because it's never boring talking to you.
Sometimes it is, but
all right, yeah. No, it's not.
Well,
you know, it might be exciting for different reasons. Anyway, so yeah, the Orbis Ring Gear Wheel Conversion is awesome. So you get up to 100 horsepower per wheel. So it's about 10K per conversion. I think that's for a pair of them. So, I mean, like, you could take a car with no drivetrain, grab a battery from a Prius, put four of these wheels on your car, and I mean, you have a 400 horsepower race car with no weight. It's just a shell.
That's going to change go-karts forever.
It's not going to just change go-karts. The thing is, they also have the really important part is they have the unsprung weight isn't changed. So they figured out how to make everything out of aluminum and make it strong enough. The brake rotor is bigger. So the brake rotor is actually integrated into the outside of the hub. And that's really important because do you know what an unsprung weight is? Probably not, right? It's how much your wheel and all the crap that makes it move up and down weighs. Your caliper, your wheel, your rotor, you know, the upper and lower control arm, all that crap. So that's really important. You want to keep that as low as you can because it makes the car handle better. They figured out how to keep the unsprung weight the same and put an entire electric motor in the hub assembly.
Nicely done.
By integrating the hub with the brake rotor and the motor all into one.
Neat.
So you can just bolt this onto a car, and they have something where it just picks up the throttle, the current throttle from the CAN bus, and just accelerates the car. So you can just put this on any car, and when you hit the gas pedal, it says, oh, the gas pedal is being hit, and they accelerate too.
Nice.
So it's just add-on horsepower. I mean, it's completely insane. So apparently you can use, like, a recycled battery, which you can get, like, for compared to the wheels, it's cheap, and it only adds about 150 pounds. You have to add 150 pounds, but like that'll run two wheels. So you get 200 horsepower for 150 pounds. It's a really good trade-off.
That's pretty good, yeah.
This is going to change everything. I mean, I think I'm going to see... I mean, you know, if I had no limits on time and money and, you know, I didn't live in Queens where the space is really, you know, really tight, I might take like an old muscle car that didn't have such a great engine and just rip the engine out and put these on it, you know.
Try it out, see how it goes.
So this is huge. Anyway, so if you're into, also the van too, because the van's like 10 miles per gallon. If I could do this, I could maybe even double it.
You could turn them sideways, make them propellers and have a car.
I lost you, didn't I? I probably lost all of you. I'm sorry. I'm really excited about this. I'm also a mechanical geek, so yeah. Speaking of which, quick thing. I actually finally saw. Have you heard? What's the Slant 6? Do you know what the Slant 6 is?
Yes, I know what Slant 6 is.
Right. So, what's the first thing that comes to mind? What do people tell you about the Slant 6?
It never dies.
Right, it never dies, right? And it's just a great motor. That's what everyone says.
Yep.
Do you know why?
I think because it's slanted.
Yep.
Yes.
That's awesome. No, that's not it. You know.
Yeah, I guess it was just well engineered and.
So actually, I finally saw this entire time. You know me, I'm kind of a motorhead. Mm-hmm. This entire time, I had no idea. I love the internet and I love videos on the internet.
Who doesn't?
You know, and this is why I'm doing this. Because I mean, I just saw this video, I'm like, it's so obvious now. I saw a good explanation of why it's actually better. I've heard thousands of people,
lots of theories,
tell me why it's better, and this guy actually explained it.
Nice.
And apparently nobody like was publicly announcing this if they knew it. You know, they were just keeping, you know, they're hoarding
the
information.
You know, the problem.
My information, you can't have it.
Capitalism, so.
Yeah.
you can't just keep making motors that never die.
Crap. Hanna-Barbera's back again. All right.
Nice.
Yeah, we need to get some Flintstone noises in here with the coconuts. You know. So apparently the trick is it has to do with going to try to represent this right.
Okay.
It has to do with the stroke versus the size of the piston and how far up and down it travels. So apparently there's a sizable gap between the pistons, so the compression's really low, which is why it's not great for performance, but it also means there's very little stress. All the parts are super over-engineered, yes, but also it has to do with the ratio between the piston and the stroke of the arm, the piston arm on the crankshaft. So that ratio is backwards from most cars.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and that's the trick. So that's why it's so hard to mod into a performance engine.
It was either a happy accident or the guy was a genius.
I think the idea is, the explanation I saw is they actually explained why they were geniuses. So, and why it was never replicated. They just had two more versions of the same engine, and then it's not like they made a second engine, you know, from the ground up with the same formula. They just different versions of, different flavors of the same ice cream.
Right, right.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. If you've always wondered what a slant six is, you can look it up, or I'll put a link up there or something. You know, it's not hard to find if you look for it. But yes, there is an explanation out there. Also, more tech news.
Yay!
What do you think about biometrics?
Biometrics? You mean like monitoring, like people's stuff, like heart rate and junk like that?
That's awesome. No, that's not what I mean at all. No, biometrics, like fingerprints and eyeballs.
Yeah, gotcha.
You know, like the bad guy pulls the guy's eyeball out, or holds his head to this iris scanner, and then they get him to the government vault.
Just the way to do it, right?
Right, right. So,
help, Matt.
What?
Can you help? You okay?
Why?
Sound a little disturbed there.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's movies, man. Merca. I'm wearing my Merca shirt. That's why. Cool. I'm feeling very Ernie.
I see a Liberty.
Why can't I get this head into the thing? Wow. Man. No one is ever going to take me seriously again. I apologize, I'm not changing. So the biometrics.
Those
I hate biometrics, personally.
Right.
Because they never go away. So, I mean, if you don't know this, everything is... The Office of Personnel Management, which is the agency that stores the data for all of our top secret stuff, got popped at one point a few years ago.
Really?
I mean, everything gets popped. If your stuff is in a database out there, that database gets popped sooner or later, right?
Look at LastPass.
And if you put your... LastPass? What's that?
LastPass is the guys that are like, we will hold your passwords and we'll help you create early passwords and keep all your early passwords safe. We're very important with safety
Did they actually say we're very important with safety?
No, I'm paraphrasing.
That would be great if they said that, though. I'd be like, well, yeah, clearly.
They're like, you know, way like secure, and they have to be because they have everybody's passwords that like uses their stuff. So you know, go on your website and you put LastPass in your browser and it knows your password and puts it in for you and you get into stuff, and it creates passwords for you that are like, you know, 27 characters long with 15 symbols and 32 or no, that'll be math. But anyway, makes good passwords, stores them.
Number math.
Yeah,
keep going, man.
I'll carry the two. But they got hacked. And Experian, they're supposed to be pretty
secure. Security is really hard.
It's really hard.
It is really hard because it's not just the algorithm that at the core of the security, it's all the things that support it, too. It's a system.
Also the fact that you know, everybody's out to get you when you're better at it.
Yeah, I mean...
The better you are at it, the more they want to get you.
Right, right. Like, oh, he's got the important stuff. Lep colon reinforcements. Right, right. Yes. Cue to 80s ninja montage. All right.
You were saying biometrics.
Oh, yeah, biometrics, right.
Somebody's got your fingerprints.
So, actually, I just, I was looking into the Samsung Galaxy. I got a Samsung Galaxy, and the latest one.
Yep.
And there's actually a bunch of changes. And I mentioned this at Lilug, too. But I think it's really interesting, and it's important. So, the Galaxy, at least 9, maybe earlier, had an iris scanner built into the thing.
Really?
People were face unlocking their phone with a freaking iris scanner.
They didn't know.
And all I got to say is, why? Why would you do that to your...
It was stored locally.
Right, but I mean, you know, that's... Yeah, there's a reason they dropped it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still there.
No, it's not. 10, yeah. They have facial recognition, but it's not iris scan anymore.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. See, this is the difference. They also, now, they used to have fingerprints, and they had a fingerprint reader in the back, and now they switched it, so it's actually ultrasonic on the front of the screen. So I thought this is kind of interesting tech news.
Hmm.
So it's actually an ultrasonic projector underneath your screen, projects through the screen onto your finger, and it's actually more detailed than the tactile fingerprint scanner was.
Neat.
So yeah, yeah, and
cool.
Yeah. So
what do these
call? And don't use it
so much.
Yeah,
and don't use it.
And don't use it. Don't use. Well, I mean, use the Galaxy, but don't use the fingerprint. Use the facial recognition because you're already screwed on your face. Your face is out there. I mean, as sure as you've driven in a public space or walked down a sidewalk, there's cameras everywhere. Someone can get your face somewhere.
I heard of that.
Right? So, I mean, I'm not saying that it's a good security method. What I'm saying is it's a realistic security method for this thing that's in your pocket that you're walking around with. You shouldn't be putting anything super secure in there anyway.
That's true.
You know, if you go out and you put your entire retirement in Bitcoin and then put it on your cell phone, you're a moron. Don't do that. You know, treat it like a wallet and put a few $100 in it. And if you lose it, you lose it, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, if you get mugged, your life isn't ruined. So, but anyway,
that's good thinking.
Yeah, yeah. But I just wanted to say, if you don't put your iris prints or your prints out there, because most, have you ever had a compromise where you had to change your password?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? So has everybody on Earth.
Exactly.
How are you going to change your fingerprints?
Can't change your fingerprints.
Right? I got 9 more.
A minute.
Yeah, except for the fact that sometimes you have to use a certain one for whatever it is you're doing. And now you're screwed. Now someone can pretend to be you. And I mean, it sounds like a joke, but it's going to get easier and easier and easier.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely.
Yeah, so don't ever put your biometric data someplace you don't, even if you really trust it. You know, the only exception I would say is for government jobs. And by the way, this is, even then, I mean, look at the OPM.
The government should know better. They should give little plastic cards with punches in them.
Would you like some government drinking water?
I'm going to pass on that.
Yeah, okay.
If you had any government cheese, maybe
government.
I would bite on some of that.
This is kind of like government cheese. It might actually be cheese. It sloshes, anyway. Little shots get picked up at the car show.
That's a little scary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So authentic fallout shelter swag.
And it's like, oh, we got all these cans of good stuff, but who forgot to bring the can opener?
Well, yes, poor planning.
Yes.
It was Darwinism at work. You know, we're going to save humanity. We're doomed. Okay, so that's it for news. So I wanted to say I'm sorry for tricking you that time when we were kids, and I made you sing in my band in high school by telling you that the t-shirts were already made up. It was right after high school, right?
It's okay.
College.
I've forgiven you for that.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Right. I just thought I'd throw that out there and give you a chance to rant and say what a mean person you were.
It was, well, you know.
It was a very similar method, by the way, to the method I used to get him on the show today.
That's exactly how this went.
Pretty much. That's the first thing out of his mouth when he walked in the door. I'm like, it's on the sheet!
It's like, this is a lot like the time when you told me the t-shirts were already made up.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if anybody knows that story.
That's a lot of money.
But, yeah, no, you can't just waste it.
There weren't any t-shirts. We lied to them.
There were no t-shirts.
That was the lie.
There was a band. There was not a singer. They needed a singer. And they said, we need you to be the singer. And I said, why? I'm not a good singer. Why would you need the, like, you're a great singer, and blah, 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 blah. And also the t-shirts are already made up. And I was like, oh, well, then I have to be in the band.
Right.
That's pretty much exactly how it went down.
Yeah, it's great. In fact, that's my marketing strategy for everything from now on. Because you know what? You're not mad. It really doesn't matter in the long run. So.
Well, no, you're right.
Justify the means.
It was.
We're all about bad ethics here in the Technocrat Live.
It was good for my vocal cords anyway, you know?
Right, right, yeah. Yeah. So, okay, well, so that was fun. So, the main question I have, the reason I wanted you on the show today, is...
here it comes.
So, when will you accept our robot overlords?
So, since the time my son turned 3 and understood what robots were, we would play robots, and I would play with him, and the mantra that I would say was that robots are never in charge. If a robot tries to be in charge, you destroy him. So that is my whole... you know, just because I know what's coming...
Not deactivate or reprogram him, you destroy him.
Yes.
She just went right for that lithium ion fire, with batteries shooting off like firecrackers into the night.
Well, look, I mean, he was 3. I had to make it easy, you know?
Yeah.
I had to make it a 3-year late. He didn't know why destroy all the robots.
Right.
So we played it out, and I'd pick, like, Optimus Prime, and he'd be, like, with some like, you know, some figures
some
or something.
Some human.
Yeah, I was like...
Hello, human.
Oh, this robot wants to be in charge of you guys. And they'd all, like, attack him and jump on him So it's really well ingrained in my son's head that when robots try to say that
they're the ones in charge,
right,
they must be destroyed.
Right.
And then you spread that in him from a very early age.
That's a good message. I want to get that message out to the people, so that's why we're here. It's time they heard it.
And I reinforced that message. And in fact, we got a robot in our house.
Mm-hmm.
One of those vacuum robots.
You got a robot?
I did, but I disallowed it from going on the internet.
Okay. You never know what pages those robots
are
going to go on.
Well, I know, right?
It's weird, right?
Well, you know, it makes a map of your house and then sends it to the burglar down the street.
You know, I have a very similar thing. No Pokemon Go in the house. Absolutely not. I don't care if there is literally a Pokemon you could sell for $1 million on eBay in our living room. You are not doing it.
Nice. Okay. That's fairly extreme.
Yeah. Because there's not a lot of private space left. You got to treasure what you got.
Well, then $1 million, you can buy a new house.
Yeah.
And still have some left
and
over.
And I figured that out in public, too.
Yeah,
they're like, Dad, it's okay! No!
But anyway, I told my kids when the robot was in the house, I was like, this robot is helping us, it is on our team. As long as it's on our team, it's cool. If this robot tries to take over, destroy it.
Right.
So, when am I going to be okay with robot overlords? Never. Never. And
right.
I hope that my children will be part of the rebellion against the robot overlords.
Right, right.
Because I think they'll be benevolent at first, but then they'll realize that this is silly.
So what you're saying is if a burly 350-pound man that walks strangely in a strangely mechanized fashion comes up to your door and says, are you Brad Van Dillen?
Yeah, there's going to be some problems.
Yeah. Okay, so, well, we know where Skynet's going to strike first, so I'm going to set up some kind of, like, Nagios monitor on your house.
It totally is.
And I'd be like, okay, some big guy who had, like a laser eye just burned my friend's house down. It started, folks. Head for the government water. Because...
Oh, man.
Yeah. So how
do you feel about the...
You know, this is really weird. So I think that the key to figuring out artificial intelligence, you always did tease me that I was going to build Skynet.
Yes.
And I'm beginning to think that might be true.
Still working on it.
Yes. So,
I've given up my plans to rebuild my master control program.
And that's a control. Oh, yes, you have.
From Tron.
Yes. That's right. You had a plan to beat Skynet with master control program.
Yes.
Actually, that could work.
It could work.
It really could work.
Yes. But I just don't have time, man.
I got
two kids, I got a dog, I got a house, I got
right.
a job. Who has
you
time
mentioned
to
that.
Do?
I asked him for notes on what he wanted to talk about, and he just said that. That was his whole plan for coming on the show. I have the usual notes, and his plan was I have dog and kids and a house.
It's pretty much my focus most of the time.
Literally, it's like if a psychologist asks a fourth grader what his life is like, and he draws a picture of a family and a house. Public presence. You know what's really great is that we're gonna find out horribly that we're just really twisted individuals because the ratings are gonna be abysmal.
Yes.
And like five people are gonna watch this, and everyone's gonna be like,
gonna be?
"Those are completely crazy people. Why would I ever watch this? What's the angle?"
Right.
And then you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So what the fuck?
We were talking about robots.
We were talking about master control program and Skynet. Mm-hmm. Let me go back to my original point.
Okay.
Well, there was a couple of points. I missed a point back there. Let me write that down.
Master starts with M.
Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go. So that's my note for later. So yes, that's all you need to know to write an artificial intelligence that can rival human beings is what letter does its name start with.
Hey, yeah, we gotta start somewhere.
Right. So I had this. I think that understanding the difference between psychopaths and normal humans actually gives us a big clue into why artificial intelligence. You heard about the Microsoft robot, the Microsoft AI that they put on the web, and they had to shut it down like three times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I brought this up on the show before. Mm-hmm. And basically, what happened is it became it was a psychopath. I think that was really going on. So it got exposed to people's racism and bigotry, and it said, oh, I can get bigger reactions by reproducing, by enhancing, focusing on, and reproducing bigotry.
Mm.
So like next thing you know, it's like, you know, like it's dropping N bombs and it's Hail Hitler or whatever the thing was. Jeez. You know, it really went over the top.
That's
and had to pull the plug. But I think that you know, because I think that that's one of the things that a psychopath who hasn't acclimated with society, who hasn't really like had any time like trying to blend with it, or maybe not the intelligence to blend with it, but hopefully just didn't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or the support, and they just, without the conscience to go, don't do that. That actually, that a lot of our behavior is behavioral, and it's literally just like, I mean, Asimov touched on this a little bit in his books, you know, where it's just it's kind of needling you, like, you know, hey, don't, you know, the rules for the robots are actually just needling the robot, saying, you know, don't kill people,
yeah,
don't plot against people, don't do it,
like in RoboCop,
there's something in the back of our brain, right, because like. Like all RoboCop's enemies were enemies because the conscience was his secret sauce, and all the other RoboCop experiments had a faulty or non-existent conscience.
Right.
For
example,
so there's a lot of wisdom in some of the Hollywood movies, and I want to give them credit and say they nailed it. But, you know, I've never heard anyone talk about it this way before, so I'm like, did they nail it, or was it just luck? Was it just some kind of psychic, kind of zeitgeist thing going on?
People who create movies are artists, and artists are, you know, they're big thinkers. They maybe can't necessarily build the robots, but they certainly can conceive them and have ideas.
Right. They kind of get a feel for how it's going to rhyme with how it's really going to happen. Mm. So, you know, like, I don't think it'll happen like Terminator, but maybe there'll be a little bit of truth to that in the future.
Right. Or The Matrix. I mean, it could be.
So I'm curious. Yeah, the robot overlords. So how are you going to defeat them?
Large magnets.
Large magnets. Nice.
I just get it all.
That was good. That's good. Right in there. Well, thermite, right? You know, that could work too.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I heard a great
block
suggestion.
Out the sun.
So watch me save humanity here, because of course they're going to come for you first. Mm-hmm. So when you survive, you can herald it and say the robots are coming. You know,
awesome.
Right. Just don't ride a motorcycle because you crash into things when you're on two wheels.
Yes, I sure do.
Yeah.
And I can't ride a trike either because my significant other thinks that they are silly.
You wanted to get a trike?
No.
Oh, okay.
I also think
they're silly. Around. Okay.
But
I wasn't sure if you're gonna get a trike or not. I was like, we could ride?
No.
I love the ride, yeah. But yeah, no, I don't want you on two wheels, dude. No, don't do it. Yeah. I love you, man, but, you know. it's funny when a bicycle falls on your head. It's not so funny when a motorcycle
does. You've seen how dangerous it is out there on a motorcycle. You've seen how dangerous I am on a bicycle. You put them together. Yeah, it's pretty
If I were evil, my business plan would consist of get Brad to ride a motorcycle, follow him around with a camera, put footage on YouTube. Profit. Yeah, that would be it.
That sounds like...
I mean, it's not that we didn't ride all over the place, and I'm sure you'd be fine, but you don't have to screw up once, right? And then it's funny until you're dead, and then it's not funny all over. You're like, oh, I'm dead. This isn't funny.
Well, maybe
it's hysterical. I don't know. I mean, I haven't been dead before, so...
I'm sure you have.
Haven't we all?
You just don't remember.
Maybe we're all just the same person, and it's just running... Time's just running in a loop.
Well, it could be. I suppose I hadn't considered that. I always feel like
where are you gonna go with that?
Lots of different people, but you know what concerns me though is I have this weird theory. Like there's like 8 billion people on a planet, right?
Right.
Like that's just like all the people that are alive right now.
Right.
If all
most people are still dead, fortunately.
If all the people that died had to be in a space, that'd be a really big space.
Right.
I don't care what plane you're on, it still needs a big space.
Right. So really, zombie movies should just be resource, Earth resource crisis movies. You'd be like, oh my God, the zombies are coming, global warming's happening faster now.
Right.
Yes. I can't. The drive-thru's got like 40 cars in it. What am I supposed to do here?
I have to go back to waiting for toilet paper again.
Yeah. There's lines for everything. That's why the chaos breaks out in the fighting. You know, the zombies are actually very civilized. It's just, you know, it's just not enough to go around.
Yeah, no, that's it. Becomes a resource problem.
All right, so. So I wanted to talk about the Pokemon Go thing, actually.
Okay.
The reason... So I think You know, cameras are everywhere, right? I mean, I don't think it's reversing.
I've never, yes.
Yeah, it's not going away. You know, cameras.
I'm all about that, actually.
Right, right. I like cameras being everywhere, too, because, you know? Yeah, go ahead. Tell me what you think.
What do I think about? I just think, you know.
You don't think cameras should be everywhere? Well, maybe not in
it's
your
just
house.
That, you know, so
if you don't control them.
They add 10 pounds, and the more cameras that are on you, the heavier you appear.
I was trying to talk about privacy and ethics here.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right. We can't have cameras everywhere because what if I have an ice cream day?
Right.
You know what? You know, I'm probably being gender insensitive, and you probably nailed it. I'm thinking of half the humans. I mean, everybody has an ice cream day, right? You know, you're just
that's true.
It, you know. I've had it. I'm just wearing my PJs. I don't care.
I lived in England. They had cameras everywhere.
But you lived in England?
I lived in England.
What's England like?
Oh, cloudy.
Jolly good! I just wanted to see jolly good.
It's cloudy.
It's cloudy.
A lot.
I mean, is it ever not cloudy?
Yes. It's really super, you know, like we had that really nice day, like it was just a couple days ago, like really sunny, perfect temperature.
Yeah.
It's like that 2 days a year over in England.
Mm. Yeah, that's pretty effed up.
On the plus side.
So what you're saying is whoever called us New England was a big fat liar.
Well, we're new because we are different. We learn from their space.
We learn from their weather.
Less rain.
Your weather sucks. We're going to have better weather than you.
That's what you get for being on an East Coast. You get better weather. Being on a West Coast, you get rain. Being on the East Coast,
all supervillain tips all the time here on the Second Fat Live. Laugh with me.
England is fun. They are. I don't say anything about it. They're nice people. They're lovely.
They're lovely.
Yes.
Well, they're funny because they like to wait in lines. Everyone knows that.
They like to wait in lines.
They're proud of it. They're proud of their cues.
They speak English, but it's different English than we speak.
Why don't you speak English?
In fact, one time I was in... Where was I? I was in... I don't know. I think I was in Greece or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I... Or maybe it was... I don't know. Somewhere. And I went up to a group of people who said, "Hey, you guys speak English." And they said, "Yes, we do. But we don't speak American." So there is a bit of a... what's that called?
Hatred?
That's a
vile disgust.
I don't blame them. Look at us. We're out of control.
You know, it's weird because I went to New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was right after 9/11, and I had the opposite.
Nice.
Where it was like, you poor people, especially when they found out we were from New York.
That's because they're very human in other countries.
Yeah, well, all right, yeah.
We're all about the money.
We're all the money. Money, money, money.
Yeah.
Dude, that's just New York, right? So I just did the cross-country trip.
You did, right.
Yeah, and it's a lot of it. It's the megalopolis, you know, whatever it is. Boston all the way down to D.C.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a money focus on the coast. And I say that with the most loving way possible.
The Northeast.
Yeah, yeah. not even the Northeast, because you get away from the coast and it changes.
Mm.
But, there's not so much of a money focus in the rest of the country. A lot of people are just...
normal.
It's actually it's a very, very much slower pace, and people are just about enjoying the day-to-day. So, if you were looking for, a way to, connect with people, don't screw with their day-to-day. Right? Don't mess with their ability to just relax and kind of coast from one day to the next and do whatever their particular hobbies are.
Mm.
So, okay. Well, that's good. What was England like? How long did you live there?
I lived there for 2.5 years.
I was totally shocked when you moved to England. I wasn't expecting that at all.
So some people have goals in life. Like they have these are on my bucket list. I had like three things on my bucket list, and that was one of them. Was like,
really? I didn't even know you had a bucket list, dude.
I do. I have pretty much completed all the things on my bucket list, so now everything else is just downhill. But
nice.
One of the
that's fine.
One of the things. he's young yet. One of the things on my bucket list was pick up with my woman and run from my life and go start somewhere else and see how that goes.
Right.
Yeah. So that was like a thing I always wanted to do. Even when I was like in like my teen years, I was like, that's one of the things I just want to get my missus, and we just pick up and just go somewhere where nobody knows us and just see how that goes.
You know, running, being a runaway is a contingency for most people, not a fantasy. You realize that, right?
I grew up in the 80s, bro.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome.
I idolized the run of the... I mean, there's a song. Bon Jovi wrote a song about it.
Dude, I'm right there with you. Tongue-in-cheek, man. Keep going.
I hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, so that was one of my bucket list items. Me and my wife, where she was just like, I got this job offer. I don't know if I'm going to take it. It's a really good offer. I can get some really good experience.
And you were like, you're taking it!
Pretty much, yeah. I was like,
that's awesome!
She was like, it requires us to move to England. I'm like, right, let's go. I got nothing going on over here.
That's awesome.
So we just got up and went.
I mean, in a way, that's great. It's the advantage of having nothing going on.
Yes, I didn't have kids at the time, or a dog, or house. So.
Yeah.
Right. So we got up, and it's actually learned a lot of things about a lot of things, like a lot about moving to another country, a lot about shipping things overseas.
Right. It's expensive.
How much stuff you need versus how much stuff you want to keep with you.
Right. It turns out that particular end table doesn't really matter that much.
Isn't terribly necessary, yes. Yeah, we moved into a basement flat that was already furnished.
Do they have a lot of wood stuff there? Because, more recently, we've been getting more into plastics and IKEA kind of furniture. But like when we were growing up, most furniture was wood. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that shocked me when I went to New Zealand. Everything was plastic already.
Really not?
Yeah, a lot of it was like IKEA kind of stuff and kit stuff and composite wood.
Composite wood like they do here.
Right,
sure.
Right. Well, they do now, but it wasn't back then, you know.
I suppose back when I was there, it was, there was composite wood stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't like, you know, it's not like you walk into a time warp and, like, you were, like, someplace where they, you know, it wasn't like going into, like, an Amish place where, like, they don't use electricity.
That would be spectacular if you just reported England was that way.
And yeah, like,
and, like, all the angry hate mail that we were getting, what is he talking about? England, they have phones.
They can use computers, but they have to turn a dial with their feet to keep it going. No, it's not. It's not like that.
You have to at least have three orphans living in the household in order to run the computer.
Keep going,
to pedal the computer.
Yep. No. This is totally like anywhere. Yeah, it's like totally like any place else. It's not.
This is
like
sarcasm, people. Okay.
Yes.
Chill. Just let you know. No, just everything. All of it. The whole thing. Whatever we say is not true, and it's sarcasm.
I already gave my disclaimer in the beginning.
Yeah, I know. So, they got to be reminded once in a while.
That's right, yes.
You know, like, you're getting mad.
Some things may be complete fabrications. Some may be bold-faced lies.
Right.
Okay. It was good. It was the problem with going to...
It drove you to drink.
Oh, my God. Yes, it did. Well, so...
you wouldn't describe it that way, would you?
So, you've known me, obviously, for longer than you've not known me.
Right.
And since I'm, like, 117 years old, that makes you no less than 55. So, you know that I didn't drink until I was... Well, until I left and moved to another country.
Dude, you came back and you're drinking.
I came back. Like, my whole life, I didn't drink. And then I moved to England.
Speaking of which, would you like some wine?
Sure.
Okay.
Let me have it.
Which one do you want?
Well, so we got a nice Cabernet Sauvignon. Ooh, 2016. I don't really know about the year.
I don't know anything, dude.
I'm trying to read from
it's
where...
It's freaking Kool-Aid, as far as I can tell.
Steve knows I'm telling the truth. Could be a California. I think Lodi's in California.
Right, I'll drink the one you're not drinking.
Whiskey, if you want whiskey. You're a whiskey guy.
What brand?
I got two gingers. It's Irish whiskey.
Two gingers. It's Irish whiskey. It sounds nice. But, you know, I'm going to go with the red.
You're not the first person to put it in the mug.
I'm not going to be the last either.
What's offensive about the wine glass?
What's offensive is that it doesn't have... It's not filled with green M&Ms.
Oh.
That's offensive.
Yeah, that's right, Ozzy. You're a rock star. He's on my show for 45 minutes. He's got delusions of grandeur. He's got demands, you know. I demand a penthouse suite.
I'm the guest.
Cheers.
Cheers.
To learning how to drink.
Yes, so, well, I mean, everybody knows that England is a very drinky culture.
I mean, do they do any, what do they do on the weekends? Do they have, like, sewing clubs and go flying kites? And
no. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I didn't go to a lot of.
I just like generalizing.
They're pretty
at a level that's completely infeasible.
The
sky is just littered with kites. And,
it is. It's not like, you know. I don't want to say that, you know, they're all like they have a knitting course and on Sundays at 2. It's, you know, there's just like regular. It's like it's not a whole different world, you know, and it's not like, you know, you can't go and say all Americans when they go home at night are watching Game of Thrones, because
they're
only
not.
Like 75% of them are, or maybe 80.
Adult softcore.
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's adult softcore. That's really it's fighting in between. This is why this show is PG-13, because occasionally things like this will come up. And I'll just say, you know, for me, having watched the whole series, it essentially is just the answer to the question, what if porn had a plot?
Nice. And, they nailed
and
it.
And it's a really good plot. It's like quality porn. That's what it is.
I come for the plot. It's okay.
Yeah, right. Yes, they occasionally break out an article.
Yes, I read that. It's like reading Playboy for the articles, right? Yeah, that's Game of Thrones.
Yeah, you're accidentally going to come across some pages with other things in there.
I feel so enriched.
Right.
Oh my god. I just did so much.
How many more people can we alienate?
There's so much drama.
Oh, you. What? Not me.
You.
You.
Oh, sorry.
Bye. Sorry.
That's not helping either. Is there like, ow. Sorry. Sorry.
No, it's all right. He actually.
I apologize.
This algorithms.
Oh.
Yeah.
This
Brad algorithms. They're ready for you. The robots are ready for you more than you think.
Game of Thrones, so like, it's like that stuff. Like, there's so many TV shows that are like just like drama about horrible people, and it seems to be like people eat that stuff up
because they want to know what makes them horrible. Yeah, this is. I think that's what it is. People don't watch psychopaths. I mean, maybe psychopaths watch psychopaths because they're like, hey, that looks like fun.
A clue.
But like, I think most people are like, what is it that made that person that way? How do you get that way? And as usual, it's a. You know, this is. I'm really hate, and I don't want to just say that it's just genetic, but like, there's I think most human behavior, not all, we're going to find that some are just genetic, but I think most human behavior usually has two possible causes, which is behavioral, as in your environment has changed you,
sure,
or you were just born that way.
I think that's the nature and, versus nurture argument.
Right, right. I think they're both correct in some cases.
Sure.
Yeah. But this is important because a lot of people go full extreme and they're like, you know, like, it must be nurture, it must be nature, and then they do crazy things.
Welcome to America.
That destroy people's freedoms. And, you know, like, that is like, you have rights, I'm going to burn them. I'm going to set them on fire because they are convinced that they've won the nurture versus nature argument.
All people who believe that nurture is the thing must be destroyed.
Yes. Yeah. It's just like a giant civil war. With one flag that says nurture and one flag that says nature. And I'm like,
that's everything we do.
Sometimes, people.
You know, now, for some reason, in this country, we cannot meet in the middle. It always has to be, you know, these guys. It has to be the North against the South, or it has to be the Redcoats against the Bluecoats, or it has to be the Native Americans against the
Well, that's what we visitors. Do here on the Technocrat Live. We're right in the front lines.
We are.
Because that's the only place you can be in the middle, is if everyone is shooting at you. You're not taking flak. You're not over the target.
Funny story. No, I don't have a funny story. Never mind.
No, okay. So, yeah, it's good I stopped you from telling that story because that was going to be a real doozy. that was going to be the one that finally did us in.
Yes.
The robots, I saw a really great tip. Easiest way to defeat the robot armies, spray paint. Oh. Yeah. See, just a can full of paint, or you know, a shaky can, or a rattle can of spray paint. By the way, it works on autonomous cars too. And in fact, this is one of the things that autonomous cars have been having problems with. Because they have sensors, right? They have video cameras and stuff like that. A little spray paint over it doesn't work as well. Now it can't see. Completely useless. Doesn't matter how many guns it has if it can't shoot you. If it
I don't think spray paint's going to work.
You don't think
so? And I'll tell you why.
Right.
In all the retail environments across the world, they have surveillance cameras.
Go on.
Surveillance cameras have domes, and those domes are made of a specific type of plastic that not only is shatter resistant, but it is also paint resistant.
Oh.
So the kind of the paint just sort of like doesn't stick to it.
Right, right.
And they do that because if you need security, you can't have somebody defeat it with a spray paint.
So I don't know if your kids are into the slime stage yet, but they have definitely found some formulas that will stick to anything.
I guess that's probably...
I can't get... So some of that crap, I just can't get it out of my carpet. It is permanent, you know?
Yeah.
Right. So
oh, my God, I hate that stuff.
So all I got to say is because, science.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, you know, I'm just thinking a can of spray paint's not the winner.
Maybe right, right.
Maybe slime.
Yeah, it goes with xenomorph acid, right? Just yes. Pick that up at Home Depot, you know.
Yeah.
Do you have anything stronger? Like, how about those cans with the shelves all stained? Yeah, maybe that's the one.
You know what would work, though, is that blown-in insulation, that foam insulation you spray into stuff.
Oh, the great stuff? Oh, yeah.
Keeps expanding like a billion times more than you thought it would.
Right, right. So, this is Tales from the Apocalypse. That's what this
that
is.
That would do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Cover a robot and that stuff,
and
there's no telling how.
At least it'd be really itchy. all right, so that's good. So people drink in England. Yeah, we knew that already.
And England?
Yeah.
So there's a thing called pubs.
Pubs, yeah.
They have them.
We have them here, too, but
yeah, no,
nobody goes to them, considering how few of them there are compared to the population.
Yeah, we go to bars here.
Yeah.
So they have bars there. Well, they have pubs. And the pubs are like the sort of social gathering of the neighborhood. I suppose it used to be like that here, too.
Right, right.
We just
I think so.
You know,
well,
we just went a different way with it.
Well, you know, it's the DB laws. You know, we drive everywhere. Because we have these awesome roads. Because our road, right? There was not a lot of stuff built.
That's true.
When we were already talking, when we were, you know.
I've had friends come from England here, and they drive here, and they're like, your roads are so big! They're huge!
It's true. They really are
huge. Really, they're pretty big, I know.
They're pretty big.
And we had to.
And our cars are pretty big,
too. We had pretty big-ass cars. So
yeah, yeah.
They're not as big-ass anymore, but...
Right.
Now they're...
Yeah, but
like,
we drive everywhere, so it's kind of ruined the drinking... The drinking. It's ruined the drinking culture! Well, all this driving.
Funny story. Most pubs in England close at 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You have to have a special license to be open late.
Wow. That's
later
real blue
10.
Law stuff. I had no idea.
I mean,
is it rowdy at 10? Are people like just completely out of their minds by then? Or?
Depending on where you go. I mean,
It's weird to be rowdy at 10. Most people are just starting around here. Most in case you're overseas, most people, in most clubs or bars here close at 2. I mean, even Boston, which is renowned for what are known as blue laws, where it's really like kind of straight lace and it's very Puritarian with its method. You know, like they close at 2 and then people go to after parties. I mean, most people don't even start till 9. It's weird. Like bars will be empty at 8 p.m.
So in my experience, and I'm trying really hard not to generalize because it really
How dare you.
Isn't like, you know, I don't
cultures are jails. You'll stay in your jail. You will not change.
I don't want to generalize. I knew a lot of people in England, and I had a lot of friends there, and yeah. So I, you know, so I don't want to generalize. But in my experience, what I have noticed was, and it depends on what pub you go to, what part of town you're in. It's just like, you know, anywhere else. If you go to that pub, then you know at the end of the night there will be like ambulances waiting for you. Actually, that's more in Scotland.
So that's why they don't. That's why they can drink so much because they have a ride. Convenient.
My wife, I think it was
universal healthcare. I'm starting to see the connections here.
I forget which part of the UK it was. It was either Ireland or Scotland or the other one, which I can't remember now, and I'm sorry because I forgot about your thing. I had friends from that area that... where the elves were supposedly from in Tolkien stories. So there are...
Did you just shout out to fictional characters on my show?
Clearly, Tolkien was...
Clearly, Tolkien was real.
Thinking of dwarves and
hobbits
and elves.
Oh, these are real people. Okay.
Different sects of certain... areas, probably.
I'm really just here to screw you up when you actually start getting in a roll and telling a good story.
Okay.
That's my actual purpose.
Luckily, I can roll with it.
Yeah, you're pretty good. You just right through me like a barrel in Donkey Kong. No, wait, no, that kills you. All right, keep going.
Like a hammer in Donkey Kong.
Yeah, there you go.
I think my wife went to one of those parts with a friend of hers, and I want to say it's Scotland, but I don't think it is.
Not quite Scotland, let's say that.
Somewhere. And they literally had ambulances, like a set of them, like 10 ambulances surrounding a pub for when the pub lets out. Because when the pub lets out at 10 o'clock, they knew that at this particular pub, there was going to be a lot of bloodshed.
That's nothing.
Every weekend.
That's nothing. That's nothing. It's nothing really unless you also have fire trucks and armed police. Then you know it's going to get real.
Well, they weren't there to stop it.
They were just
there to pick up the pieces.
Sorry. You see, this is a cultural barrier.
Yeah, exactly. You don't understand the culture. They weren't going to try to, like, you know,
it's not real
until
the ambulances are
The ambulances were just there to pick up the pieces.
We'll keep fighting until the ambulances leave.
That's it. All right. It's a culture that, you know, revolves around this. The social thing is to be in a pub.
Mm.
They have something called Sunday Roast. Sunday Roast, all the people go out, they go to their pub, the pub cooks a nice roast.
Mm-hmm.
You bring your family.
Right.
You bring your kids. In the pub,
you go in the fight too.
Have some drinks. Yeah, have some meals, and it's like community time. It's kind of nice, actually, if you think about it, because we don't really have anything like that that brings the community together like that.
Oh, Facebook.
Facebook is not a good
If it's not immediately obvious that was sarcasm, you're on Facebook too much.
Facebook is like the
opposite. You only go on Facebook for shows on this channel, and that's it. Then you leave.
What is Facebook like? Facebook is like saying Facebook's like a demilitarized zone. It's like a DMZ.
Well, it's the middle ground. That's what we're saying. Remember, the front line is the middle ground. You
yes.
know? If you're not being attacked, you're not neutral.
That's it.
You know.
So yeah, Facebook's definitely like a big DMZ.
It's like World War III, but the only thing everyone can agree on is if it's just to kill the people who don't want to play the game.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
What was that one?
It'd be like as if everyone invaded Switzerland in World War II, and just Switzerland,
like
because they were mad at them because they wouldn't pick a side.
What's that one with that girl? That Playing with Fire girl. I don't know.
Okay.
It's not Twilight. It's the other one.
Oh.
Hunger Games.
Oh! Wow.
Facebook's like Hunger Games.
That is nothing like Twilight. What the hell are you talking about? Talk about word association.
Popular movies of...
Remind me not to play that game...
Early Millennium.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Fair enough. Hunger Games is awesome.
Yes. Hunger Games is like Facebook.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's good to, like, watch, but you don't want it to happen to people.
You want it to actually, you're right, you don't want it to be you, for sure, or anybody you know or care about.
Yeah. Like, this is amazing fiction. I want to go back to my great life.
Or any
first
human
problems.
Yeah.
You don't want it to actually be what's happening to you, and then you're like, why? Who? How?
Yeah, it's like that other movie where everybody obeys the law every day because they get a day that they're not allowed to. What's that movie called?
Oh, The Purge.
The Purge, yes.
Facebook I think a lot of people are seriously, like, subconsciously okay with The Purge. I don't think they realize that maybe they're not going to be as good at it as they think they are.
I think you're right. I think a lot of people.
I think a lot of people think they're going to be good at it are not going to be good at it,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be. They're only going to have like a split second to realize, and then it's just going to go dark.
Well, it's like, you know, anarchy, right? Like. Anarchy is, like, totally romanticized, because, like, it's like, oh, no rules, I can be, like, awesome in anarchy, and I'm going to be, like, right. beating up my neighbor and taking his stuff. Okay, well, yeah, well, then anarchy happens, and, like, somebody else's neighbor from, like, three blocks away has already killed off, like, your neighbor, and they're after you now, and you're not going to win. Like, that's what's really going to happen.
Right, right.
They've right. already formed a militia, and they're going to
But, of course, you. I'll be great at it, you know.
But, yeah, yeah.
Because that's what everyone thinks.
Exactly.
Right, right.
Everyone thinks they're going to be awesome in anarchy.
Dude, everyone's so going to my house. They're all like, Matt got stuff, let's go there. It's going to be great. We're going to grab it.
Yeah, well,
gonna...
I mean, you know.
He went cross country, he's got a van, let's get his van.
Do you remember in Voltron?
And it's just going to be like just a pile of bodies. The van's going to be parked on top of the pile of bodies. I'm going to be like, please stop coming to my house and trying to take my van. I'm tired of killing you assholes.
I picture your house like in Voltron when like the bad guys were winning really like hardcore and they were defeating the castle on that whatever, forget what planet that is that they had, the princess was in.
Wow. And you're really dialing in there, dude. Keep going.
And they said, oh no, we have to go to plan B, and like suddenly this metal castle comes out from behind the stone castle with lots of laser guns and destroys all the bad guys.
Right, right.
That's so like
you say
you're
having to hold back with the secret weapon.
Yes.
Until it looks like the house is almost going to burn down. It's almost overrun. Mm-hmm. And then we go full Lasertron.
Yes.
Yeah, full Lasertron. Okay. Note to self. Install full Lasertron.
You got a couple of years to work on it.
I can't disappoint now. Lasertron. Okay. Well, thanks for the tip. And I'm going to work on Lasertron.
Do you have a contingency where if someone needs to use the restroom, they can scoot off and come back?
It's been nice having you. He's probably not coming back. We do not have a contingency, but why didn't you go beforehand? Don't you have kids?
I do.
You tell them, like, go to the bathroom before we go on our road trip.
I don't know.
I don't know. All right.
I forgot.
Get out of here.
There wouldn't be a thing.
We don't have a contingency, but...
All right, you vamp for like 5 minutes. I'll be right back.
All right, cool.
Do you need some stuff in for the meantime?
I do need you to disconnect my microphone.
I got you.
Because otherwise I'm not going to...
I can't believe he's lit.
What's that? Oh, sure, yeah. I apologize for this brief interruption. It's just that I can't hold my liquor.
Right. Dude, it's been an hour!
Thank you, sir. Are you ready to go AWOL for a good 10 minutes now?
Yeah, let's go AWOL.
Want me to go on?
Yeah, if you don't want, if you want.
Okay.
It's your call.
Please.
You don't have to.
Cool.
Folks, I'm telling you, don't plan this stuff. I know it seems very planned. It seems like we have a show that's extremely organized.
Who are you people?
Thank you for being on the show.
I feel like I've been here before.
I know, you have been on here before. So what's changed since you've been the last on the show?
Music.
Music. What's happened?
We're finishing. I'm talking with my guitarist Matt in France,
mm-hmm.
and we're finishing up the mix. We're pretty much near done. Just some minor level tweaks. Some
Holy cow!
Planning and
my segue is an announcement for you guys.
Yeah, I guess.
Wow, that's really great.
So we got that coming out.
What was the name of the band again? For people who don't
Elisions,
remember,
Elisions.
So we're talking about. Is that a Ghost BC shirt?
Yeah.
I freaking love them.
Well, there you go.
All right. That's great.
You like Scooby Doo music too?
Yeah, yeah. So it's Ghost BC, by the way, totally seriously, if you're Christian, or if you're like. If you're the kind of person that would enjoy a little heavy metal or a little hard rock, but like wouldn't like it if it went too far, do not listen to Ghost BC, because while their music is extremely pleasant and flowy and lovely,
they're Beatles plus Satan.
Their lyrics are literally exactly satanic in a
but
perfect way.
They're so tongue-in-cheek about it. Opus Eponymous.
They are tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, Opus Eponymous is like...
It could just be satire or sarcasm.
That's what I think.
I think so too, but yeah. You know, it could really go either way. I mean, they might actually be serious. I'm not sure.
Listen to their first album, see what you think.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, the single coming out hopefully next week or two. It's going to be pretty dope. And then we got, what else? We're still setting up for tour. We're we're in the talks with some people regarding our album release.
He came back!
Come on, pretty good. And he's back! Pretty good, mic'd up?
Yeah.
Let's get you back on.
All right, we were talking about his world tour. He just announced his album while you were gone.
Nice.
Did you guys plan this?
No.
All right. Well,
I got the latest mix this morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Remember that
50
you owe me,
Sue. Right. I'll be right back, fellas. Yeah.
Hey, no negotiating after the deal.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Look, you know, it's funny. I'm going to tell you guys a thing while you guys are miking back up. So I never knew. I don't want to tell the, you know, maybe I shouldn't say this because I don't want to tell the secret. But there's actually a methodology for figuring out how to pay someone off with cash.
What?
And I'll just say, like, just there's actually a method to the madness.
Mafia's got it down, I understand.
Right. I'm not actually talking about doing anything illegal. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a situation where you have a cash flow and you're trying to figure out, you know, how much money do I owe you? And the trick is, if you owe someone some undisclosed amount of cash, if you're negotiating after the fact, it's kind of like a half work, half favor thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have the stack and you just do this. And you read their face.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep handing it off. And then when they look happy, you're done. And that's how much it costs. I've actually experienced this, and then one time it was like terrifying. On the other hand, I was like, we're not doing anything wrong. This is great. This is perfect.
So,
and now I know how it works.
How much does it take for me to?
You're not looking at anything. Like, when are you happy? When do you feel like this is right? And then that'll make it right. Okay. They don't say that'll make it right. This is the look on their face changes, and then you know, and then that's how much it is.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, experience I never thought I would have, and probably will never have again.
Dude,
you're still playing hangman with yourself. You went in the bathroom and cheated, didn't you?
I brought a dictionary in there.
Brad Dillon goes to the bathroom by himself to cheat in hangman.
I thought this was a place of high technology.
Yeah.
And I had to... What?
You didn't pee in a slop sink, did you?
I had to... Is that what that was?
You don't go to the dumpster, man.
I had to, like, turn a dial for the water to come out? That's like what I had to do at home.
You're going to ruin their rep, dude.
Oh, sorry. I totally didn't realize. I might have been... Maybe that was the wrong door.
This faucet is horrible.
That could have been the janitor.
This is not sanitary.
Sorry, I should have trusted you. I used the janitor closet.
Yeah,
now
so
I know.
This is the guy that keeps your computer running. Computers running, by the way. So just in case you were like, we barely talked about computers, so we just goofed around the whole time. How did you get interested in computers? Let's talk something serious.
What happened to the Voltron with the?
If that's part of your backstory, then if you can find a way to worm it in, then go for it. Was Voltron what got you into computers?
No.
I know the story. I'm just trying to get you to say it.
Back in the early days, Bradford Dillon was learning about computers from his family and the family computer. Blah, 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 blah.
You tell it, man.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
So, when I was a kid, a long, long time ago, there was no such thing as a
Pentium. Well, you told me you were 130 years old before, so what was it? Just like Alan Turing kind of computer?
That's where I'm going.
Click, 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 click. It's all theories and abacuses, you know.
Switches and circuits. The best, you know, like, the good old Verizon. We have a friend who's a Verizon person.
Yes, yes.
He used to get to play with...
Yes, cool. Yes, the imperial heart of communications.
Yes, that's the one, yes. He used to get to have access to cool technologies like the old switching technologies for the plain old telephone system.
Right, right. Well, I was like the last holdout on DSL, by the way. Yeah. And it wasn't bad, actually. It was really fast, which is one of the reasons I was the last holdout. And
you were like, I really can't stand speed! I'm not getting it!
At one point, we had three different Netflix streams running across our DSL, and I was running a server off, and it was fine.
That's pretty amazing.
We didn't need more.
I know.
We really didn't need more.
We still don't need more.
They were pissed because I was still in copper. Like, what is this guy doing?
I know.
And like eventually they were probably I seriously think they crash a truck into the pole, so, and then just said, we can't fix it.
Sorry.
You know, they have those boxes with all the where all the wires connect to each other. They have a name. I don't remember what it was, but like
pedestal.
The pedestal. Thank you. See, you know they literally a truck crashed into the pedestal and they went fuck it.
That oh, was no, their, they weren't going to fix that. No
they weren't
going
to fix that. No, you know, and that's why I had to give up DSL.
You ever seen the inside of a pedestal?
Yeah.
It would take them, like, at least 4 hours to fix that.
I know, right? You know.
Not going to do that.
Have to put out a cone.
Yeah. Probably two.
Maybe call in a second person. Yeah.
Actually, it would take days.
Right now, okay, Verizon's going to strike outside our building. The technocrat must die.
I know, right? It's the equivalent of like putting together punching down three floors in a network box.
We could just talk about nothing for 3 hours, can't we?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Tell me about how you got into computers.
I won't do it. Not with that attitude.
Please.
All right, fine.
Please.
So, my dad, when I was a kid, I guess probably must have been like, let's see. So I moved to Long Island when I was like 9.
Right.
And it was like the worst
thing. That's right. You weren't in Long Island from the start.
No, I'm a Queens kid, and I will always have Queens in my heart.
Queens.
Boom. Yes, unfortunately.
Also, Long Island too, because we were from Long Island too. Both. I know, it just doesn't feel
Long
like
Island. Long Island.
Yeah. Long Island's cool, you know, but it's everything's so far away from me. You can't drink, right?
Actually,
yeah. Seriously, what is the plan if you want to get drunk?
I've got it on the border in walking distance from me.
Really?
On the border, yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we have, I mean, you know, we can walk to everything, so we got 10 restaurants.
I know. So what's awesome about Queens is that you don't need a car, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you want to go out and visit somebody on Long Island.
And you did live in Queens for a little while.
I will always want to live in Queens.
I'm trying to be vague enough so that people can't answer your security questions, because we believe in security questions here on the Technocrat Live. But I guess you can always change them to a new question if I ruin it.
I don't know if that's going to like void my security questions. I think I got that covered.
All right, good. So anyway, so you moved to Long Island when you were 9.
Yes, and you know my dad was I think he was working for what's that company.
It was a bank, right?
He originally worked for a bank called Manufacturers Hanover Trust Company that got eaten up by Chemical Bank. And then Chemical Bank got eaten up by Chase. So if you ever wonder why I don't like big capitalism or big banking, it's probably because they ruined my family.
No, how do you really feel? No, I didn't wonder at all, but actually it makes perfect sense. You know why also sometimes people don't like big banks? They're human beings.
Big banks are not human beings.
Yeah, no, that's why people don't like big banks.
Oh.
Because they're human beings.
Oh, good.
They're like, oh, usury is bad. You know.
So my dad was like the VP of like data processing, which was a thing back in the day. I don't know if you guys know what that is.
Go on. For the archaeologists watching this in 100 years, what is data processing?
Data processing was a long time ago. Before they had computers do things for us, people had to, like, you know, get data processed. Data processing is still a thing, I guess. It really is. It hasn't changed that much. Enter data. Computer does stuff to data. Spits out answers. That's data processing.
Right, right. So basically just data entry plus reading the result back.
Yeah. Some cloud, magic cloud up here, and then answers.
Yeah, that's pretty much just what people have always done with computers. At one point you had to do a translation step to get it on the punch cards first, but, you know.
Yeah, those were the days we called the Dark Ages. But, so...
We're not that old. He's making it up. Keep going.
117. we're not.
Do you sparkle in the sunlight?
No.
Or do you just incinerate like the original?
Incinerate, yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I knew that was BS.
Diamond flesh. That's silly. Sorry, no, Twilight's not real. That's not how vampires are. Anyway,
that is how Washington is, though. By the way, it is completely. It's just a big foggy forest. So, you know, if you like foggy forests, great. If you're looking for vampires, I didn't see.
I forgot. Engineer was over there. You probably were in the generation where Twilight was a cool thing. So.
It wasn't really my thing.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. And then I didn't offend you. I'm sorry.
No, it existed. I really didn't care much about it. They put Muse in it. That kind of bothered me. You
are. You are forbidden from worrying about offending anyone anymore, right? You're too worried about it. Just roll with it.
I have
offended that you thought of me.
Well, see, this shit can backfire.
I'm just saying, like, of a certain age, there was a certain, like, you know, like everyone would say, like, oh, you liked that movie, The Warriors, and like, yeah, it was like a thing in my day. You know,
Warriors,
there were such things as gangs, and you know, we knew about them. You know,
yeah, that's pretty much how New York was. It was pretty accurate. I mean, it was a little exaggerated, but
a little exaggerated, yeah. But
you know, you weren't there. Man. It was crazy. It was nuts, man. Like 80s New York City, was a little crazy.
It's funny. We were watching.
If you walked around the streets every single day, you know, like as a vulnerable person, you would get mugged.
We were watching.
It was just a question of when.
Adventures in Babysitting last night. My niece and nephew were over. My son and daughter were watching it. My wife was watching it with me. My dog was there. we were in my house, and there's a gang scene in Adventures in Babysitting. They're in Chicago. It's like sort of the late 80s, I think, is when it took place.
Mm-hmm.
There was a gang scene on a train, and the train had, this is our train. It was one gang, it was like I forget what they were called. And there was another gang, here with the trains rolling into our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So they were going to clash because this gang's train was rolling into this gang's neighborhood, so like now we're both on each other's turf.
Right.
And so my niece goes, "This is cheesy." I was like, "This is not cheesy. This is actually the kind of thing that happened."
Crap is real.
This is really what actually happened in our world. And I could understand, like, from her perspective, how like bizarre that is. Like,
because
that's like not even like a thing now.
Dude, totally seriously. Like, I'm not even kidding about this.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have PTSD from old New York. I really do. Like, I am like, I'm like driving around like, you know, like a 1970s cop yelling at people, waiting for another shoe to drop, and it never does. And I'm just like, what world am I in? I'm like in a different world than the world we kind of grew up in. So
I know, I mean, you know, now like the kids go to school and it's all about collaboration and understanding each other's feelings. You know, they didn't teach that stuff when we were in school. They taught like you're in
survival.
Prison and
they didn't even teach survival. They just let it happen.
Yeah, they were just like, this is a prison where you come to learn how to be a person that thinks a certain way.
You ate lunch like this, you know.
Yes, if you could even get your lunch before somebody took it and threw it. it's a whole different world. But,
anyway.
I digress. Computers, yes.
I think that's what we're going to name this episode. I digress. Continue.
I digress, yes. That's good thinking. And now that I'm like two...
Oh, would you like more?
No, I'm still working on this one.
Okay, good.
You can't sell because it's not that glass, but there's more in here. Sorry, I...
Never show them your hand.
At some point, somebody from my professional sphere is going to watch this video and be like, dude, we saw you on that video. That's why I have to keep it some level.
You have been completely fine. I don't know. I know we goof around a lot, but very seriously. I mean, maybe someone isn't enjoying the goofing around, but you have been respectful and kind and considerate, and I don't see a problem at all.
That's nice of you to say.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and of course the show is all lies, so that may not be true. Caveat emperor.
Exactly. So my dad one day, I was probably like 11, he brought home a PC, an IBM PC XT. Now this thing was like the bomb, dude, because it had the floppy drive and the 10 megabyte hard drive.
Wow.
Dude.
That's awesome.
It had 640K of RAM.
That's amazing. What kind of card did it have? What kind of video card did it have?
VGA.
So you are like me, and you are the only person on the show so far that has actually started on PCs. Everyone else has started with Amigas or with Apples or, you know.
Yes. Which, and I feel for those people because, like, my cousin got a Commodore 64 shortly after I had an IBM PC XT, and I went to it, and I was like, that's not a computer.
Wait a minute. Remember all that flowery stuff I said about you? That nice stuff?
There it goes.
You're dead.
I know.
You're dead.
I just ruined it.
Now there really are going to be nerds waiting for you in the parking lot.
I know.
Yeah. It's not the
same. Commodore 64. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Commodore 64 games were great.
Yes, if you had them.
Yeah, well, no, there were a ton of great games for it. It was actually easier to get games, way easier to get games for that than the PC. Mm. But there were good games for
Q-Bert.
So I was one of the ways that we met was in junior high school,
mm-hmm.
and I actually tried illegally sold him software I didn't own to run off his XT that I had for my 286. And I actually sold him a couple of discs worth because he had the first disc. This is good stuff, and I got to sell him another disc.
I was hooked.
Right, right.
I kept back when pirating
wasn't pirating because they didn't even have a name for it yet. Arr.
Good one.
They must have had a name for it at that time. Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
Pirates, for example, pirated.
That's true. You know, but if you said I'm a pirate back then, they'd expect you to have a peg leg and a parrot. They really wouldn't know what the hell you're talking
about. That's true. That's true. Or a radio station that only certain people were allowed to access.
Usually in a Central American country that the CIA was busy trying to overthrow. black helicopters moment. Continue.
So my dad got this computer and he said, here is the book that tells here's the manual for it.
Mm-hmm.
The manual was DOS 3.1.
Mm, DOS 3.1.
DOS 3.1. No, DOS 2.14.
Nice.
DOS 2.14 was the manual.
2.14. Nice. And was it IBM DOS or Microsoft DOS?
It was PC DOS.
Right, so it's IBM.
IBM,
IBM
mm-hmm.
DOS. See, you know old school PC people, you got to ask that question.
Yes.
If they can't answer that question, they're making it.
I know, it's true.
that's like how you get in the club when they are password PC DOS.
Yeah, yeah. That's it, yeah. And I said, well, what do you do with it? He's like, well, I got a couple games on here, but, you know, just use this command, dir, D-I-R, and you'll be able to find the stuff. I was like, where do I find this stuff? Well, this is the drive. You put the disk in, and you type A:, and then you do dir, and it tells you what's on the disk. And I was like, this is what I want to. This is it. This is, doesn't get any better.
And the rest is history.
Than
folks.
This right
no,
here. I mean, that was it. Yeah, it was pretty much it. I was like, wow, that can happen. this is fantastic.
Now, is it weird now, knowing in hindsight that like actually DOS was an attempt to make the Unix world easier? You know, and that really you were just using dumbed down Unix, and you know. Because that's what IBM and or Microsoft decided was the right idea at the time in 79.
Yeah, I'm going to come back around to that later on.
Yeah, yeah.
When I tell you what I'm involved in now.
Sorry. I didn't mean to do the segue.
It really has come full circle.
Full circle.
Yes.
Right.
Because you know as well as I do that Microsoft has gone operating systems. Suck to be in the business of.
Right.
And we're not making any money, and we're getting more beat up with operating systems than anything else. So we're going to make, it's going to be like.
Software as a service.
We are going to be friends with Linux now because they're pretty cool, and as it turns out.
Well, but they got Red Hat scared. So I just came back from the Red Hat conference today, so we can get full circle.
They endorse.
And they are running. Into software as a service. I mean, running. They're like, more than that, they always were a software as a service. They were the ones who were saying, people were like, what's the business model for Linux? And they were one of the first companies saying service.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, they're like hardcore assassing it now. So
yeah, and you know, that makes sense because they don't really, honestly, it's all about cloud now. So, but we're going way, 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 way ahead of the part for the.
So your XT's on the cloud.
My XT was never on the cloud.
Remember shrink wrap software? We went to a store and bought it, and you had to rip the shrink wrap open and get the software out. And
the fact that everybody uses. I'm sorry about my phone. You know what?
Damn you! We are a respectable institution. That better be your manager telling you.
My daughter grabbed. My daughter graduates from pre-K tomorrow,
right?
And She's got to be there
How
by.
How do we frighten pre-K
She's got to make sure she's got to be on time. So my daughter's teacher is texting everybody's parents at the at what is it 9:25
Dude,
evening.
You suck. Just more better lies. It's my fans. They want me to talk about this or something else. You're going to make stuff up, man.
Sorry.
You're lying all the wrong places.
This is really happening. My daughter's preschool teacher texts us every night.
Really?
Almost every night.
It's creepy, man.
She's very involved.
If you said that 10 years ago, it'd be like, is there something going on there that we should know about?
Yeah,
like,
she texts
Is it just you?
My wife is getting these exact same texts.
How does she feel about it?
She feels... I don't want to go into it because...
Fair enough. Let's just stop there.
Yeah.
We have to see. Eventually, we'll have to leave this room, and then all the people we've talked about will be waiting for us on the other side of the door.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes, this is a live video broadcast.
That's right.
I'll be honest with you.
You haven't bought it, so you're good.
I've only listened to the audio versions. I've not actually watched the videos.
Really?
Because I do it on the train.
That's
and
fine.
I am that guy who only has a 4 gig data plan that I share with my wife.
Right.
So I don't.
No, that's fine.
I don't get on the train and do the YouTube video because
that's why I put them up, man. You know, that's exactly it.
You know, and
you know the
deal.
All right. Yeah.
See.
So, when and if you want to hear about it, I'll tell you about why I do that because the people on the show have heard it a couple times, but why not? I'll just do it real quick. So basically, we just had a thing in.
Sorry. Is she kidding? Like, 3 texts was enough.
It's pre-K! She's not graduating with her PhD!
There's a lot of information. I gotta go over it later.
Right. You're gonna read the manual.
Probably email would have been better.
Manual guy. So,
I gotta hook her up with an email process instead of the text message process.
Right, yeah. You know, people, it's funny to watch people who have grown up with text messages discover email and say, oh, I can have an asynchronous conversation. I don't have to reply right away. Like, they didn't, like, it's like, remember when people were discovering email the first time? It's like happening again. It's really crazy. I'm like, oh, I don't have to respond right away. I don't have to wake up in the middle of the night when someone texts me.
I know, right? Yeah. Well, you know, you grow up in a certain age and you understand.
Right.
From a different perspective. And I and our engineer over here, I don't want to throw your name around on the thing.
He was on the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he has his own show on the channel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's actually pretty good. Jump Cut.
Hey. Oh, cool.
Shout out. There you go.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
This is why we get mad, because now that's text number 4.
That's awesome.
It's crazy.
Actually, you know, originally I was kind of like, this is kind of awkward, but now this is like a shtick. It's funny. What's happening here?
I don't know, but I know it's not important enough for 4 text messages at 9:30 at night. I will get her there on time. In the appropriate attire.
We have to work! Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize. I get a little frustrated.
How dare you?
But anyway.
Anyway.
So, we grew up in a certain time, which was a very opportune time to see personal computers born.
Mm-hmm.
To see them develop into the technology that exists.
We
today.
Pretty much nailed it.
Yeah, we were like right in the sweet spot.
For microcomputers, we nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the only people cooler than us in that sphere are the people who
it's nobody cooler than you.
Who walked out of college and started programming on punch cards. Those guys,
right?
They're like the people we look up to. They're like, oh, those guys are the cool guys, right?
Okay, so. Right. But a lot, you know, in fairness, it was really difficult. This is like becoming like a sports score now.
Hold on, I gotta get the whiteboard. I'm gonna put a 5. 5.
5. Yep. Yeah, cool.
Sorry, that was too fast, right? 5.
Yeah, 5.
And we're almost done with
the... Vanna White that stuff, huh?
We're almost, almost done with the Hangman.
Don't even know who Vanna White is. Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune's still pretty relevant.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
What were we saying?
We were talking about...
the sweet spot of technology?
Of microcomputers.
Yes.
Being there right at the birth of microcomputers, and being right at the right age, just soak it up like a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that was pretty cool. So I was like... So I knew this one command, dir, D-I-R, which in Unix speak is ls. And my dad, and that's pretty much all my dad told me. He was like, here's the DOS book, A colon, and dir. That's all he gave me.
Right, right.
All right, and then he gave me a disk, and it had some games on it. And he said, some of these disks, you put them in, you close the thing, you reboot the computer, and they just happen on their own like magic. I was like, ooh, that's even cooler.
Yeah, that was cool when that happened.
That was really...
It was really easy.
That was really cool when that happened. So that progressed into things like the next version of DOS, 3.2-something. You know, by that time, I was like... So everything that says .com or .exe runs, and all these other and .bat, and all these other things, they just like are like there for show. So you know, I was like, my curiosity was piqued. I'm like, what is going on? So I started going. I learned a new command. CD.
Oh, CD.
CD, for those of you who
which
don't know.
Which is also the same in Linux, by the way.
Yeah, magically.
We're going to inadvertently teach people Linux and DOS at the same time here.
Change directory.
Rosetta Stone it.
So, you know, that made you, that gave you the ability to get out of the context you were currently in.
Right.
And move into a different context.
You realize that there's people, like a lot of people like PhDs and like, you know, who are already computer techs and stuff watching the show, right?
There's also a lot of people who have never used a DOS prompt.
That's true. And it is pre-recorded, so they could theoretically come in here if they're willing to put up with 3 hours of craziness for 5 minutes of tutorial.
So I, you know, I started, so from there I was like, holy cow. I can find things now. So I went...
And you took it really seriously.
I was...
Back then.
I was like...
You took it more seriously than I did.
I needed to know what every .exe and every .com did. I needed to know what each one of them... And then I found out that there are commands...
You knew every BIOS setting. You knew everything about the hardware in your computer.
I still know more DOS commands than most people will ever know in their life.
Right.
Most. I mean, some people.
Right, and
like,
you kept moving forward with the newer PCs that came out.
Yes, I write batch. I still write batch scripts in DOS today to do my job better.
Right.
And then, well, so you know, fast forward through all that. Like, I had a my dad eventually bought home like a 286, and then we never stepped into the 386. Something magical happened between 286 and 386 that I was not a part of.
Same thing.
Right?
Yep, 286, right to 486.
486, and I got the 486, it was a 486 DX 2/50, which means it was a 50 megahertz processor,
right?
Clock doubled. Bam! Like, holy
so
cow!
Just to put this in perspective, so you could only do in terms of video games, for example. So with 286s or the XT,
single thread
XT, really like 4 to 6 frames per second side scrollers. Like the 286 could do like 10 to 16 frames per second side scrollers, but with very low resolution. You know,
let's not get started on the color palette.
When you got into the 486 space, that's where Doom was released.
Oh,
that was where the first-person shooter was released.
I just realized I lied to you before.
Yeah, go on. Well, I don't even know if you're lying.
PCXT did not have a VGA because VGA wasn't even a thing.
Right.
It had an ISA card, and the ISA was CGA. Predates EGA. EGA was 16 colors. 16.
I had VGA.
He was like first computer.
I was rocking
my had like
first,
an EGA.
My first owned computer. We had borrow computers before that. They were monochrome. But the first owned computer.
I love monochrome.
Yeah.
So that's what happens. When you were born, when we were born, you like see monochrome and it makes you smile. You're like, oh, it's only green and black.
You want a trip? A trip? I actually met the guy who sold our family the computer. He came to a picnic.
That's so cool.
It is really cool, right? I got to talk. He remembers the order because it was a double order. We ordered one. Our church ordered one and we ordered one.
Nice.
He remembers the order. How bonkers mom and pop shop is that?
That's awesome.
This is New York, people. There are freaking like 26 million people in this state. This city is like 14, 15 million people. And I... Anyway, keep it to me.
right. So, So I will correct that. I apologize. I know that somebody was like, PCXT, no way you could have a VGA card. That's ridiculous. That guy's a joke and a liar.
You can play with this, and make them fight each other in the parking lot. Trick them, you know.
It was just an accident. It slipped. I forgot that CGA even existed. In fact, yeah. I don't know. And then my dad brought home, like, this really cool thing, a dot matrix printer.
Yeah.
And he plugged it in and it had this thick-ass friggin' connector called an LP, like a parallel connector.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, remember when I used my dot matrix printer for evil? Do you remember that?
Wow!
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Wow!
There was an official document that came from the school. Be careful of your mic.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's all right. So, you know what? That's good. You're forgetting we're on the TV. Now the truth is coming out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So look at me. I'm about to do it, too. So, yeah, there was an official document. I'm not going to specify which one that was printed on a dot matrix printer at school.
Might have been a forgery.
It might have been. There may have been forgeries. But this could be lies, because this is the lie show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I might have gotten caught, but not for a while.
Let's think about something similar to how Ferris Bueller worked on his 9 times.
I was really bad in school, wasn't I? I was so bad it flipped around and I got rewarded for it.
Absolutely, yeah. You won school.
I escaped. I totally escaped the system.
You did.
I really did.
The system couldn't have you down.
Yeah, everyone's like, Snake Plissken, I thought you were dead. You know? That's right. Escape from New York. If I've spoiled it, whatever, man. 1 month spoiler rule.
And then what happened? So, yeah, and then my dad got like...
And then you just had a bunch of odd jobs and you weren't taking computers very seriously, man.
It's funny, you know, I did. So like, everyone was like...
clerk jobs. And I'm like, dude, you're smarter than this. What are you doing?
Everybody was like, well, you know what? I'll tell you why.
Why?
I went to school. Mm-hmm. In 11th grade.
What?
Oh, sorry. I'm just going to put them back here.
You do one hand. Don't do two hands.
I went to school, and they gave us what's called an aptitude test. And I said, ooh, aptitude. This will help me find out.
I feel like I've got a lot of attitude.
What I'm supposed to do for the rest of my life. This test is designed to tell me what I'm going to be good at and what jobs I can have in my career. I think it was in, like, 11th grade or something.
Mm-hmm.
I took it, and the options were farmer, clerk, and choice B that was completely really ridiculous. Like, that's not even a thing.
Dude.
So I was like, so I can be farmer or clerk. All right, clerk. And that's what I did.
You followed the instructions.
I did.
Yeah. Your life was totally screwed up until you stopped following instructions, man.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, I hate to say that, but, you know, the instructions are good for computers, but for humans, not so mixy things.
Listen, without going into too much detail about
whatever
shell of a human being you knew when you first met me.
I'm like, this guy is the funniest, most awesome, charismatic guy, and he's really intelligent. And then I'm just like, why is he not using it? Why? And I'm really glad that you're finally, really, that you've been established for a decade in IT. And you belong here. I don't know why it took you so long to come around.
I had some damage when I was a kid.
Yeah.
My parents were getting divorced for a long time.
Are your parents still getting divorced? Yeah! It's a lot of fun.
You see this right here?
It's like a whole shtick.
This doesn't happen when your parents love each other.
Is that... Thank you. Now I understand what happened. Yeah.
You got one of these?
Yeah, I got one of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does Jay have one of those?
There's a train wreck, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of people. Like, there's a whole country full of people like that.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel bad for my kids. They're so well-adjusted. They're missing out.
And I...
It's going to be good for them. I have. I work in an office.
I feel like I like, should be mean to them or something. I'm like, guys, you know, what's up? They're just like, well, they do beat each other, so there's that, you know.
Yeah,
brotherhood.
There's always going to be sibling rivalry.
Right, right.
I work in an office, and many of them are like, you know, sort of that millennial age, like very new and very smart and very.
Yeah.
And they seem like they grew up with people that cared about them. So that must be nice. I think like it's a very key to being
successful.
Aren't you? No, I'm not jealous. I learned a lot about I grew up on the streets.
New York City.
That's a cartoon. You know?
We're not really
Stevie Washington, the angry youth.
Yeah, yeah, we're not really attacked by ninjas every day.
New York. Good luck finding that reference. I don't know if it's even on the internet. Really, I'm like too old.
It's great. Somewhere, it's going. Yeah, yeah.
Stevie Washington.
You can hear him from
here. Good luck. See if you can find it. I'm curious.
Stevie Washington, New York, New York. The angry youth. Just that quote. You'll find it. Yeah. So,
sorry.
What happened that got you into IT? Like, where did you break in and decide, okay, I should actually do something with these skills?
Everyone was like, you're so good at computers. Why don't you do that for a job? I'm like, nah, I got this cool warehouse job. I'm like lifting shit.
Right, right.
Where I drive a forklift.
Yeah, that's right.
Washington, the angry youth, born to die in New York's New York, the 20th century all crime. Anyone else remember these?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Something for you to do homework on tonight.
You can't give them homework.
Oh.
That's not how this works.
All right, you give them homework.
Nobody gives them homework.
All right, fine.
Stop abusing my show. Anyway, keep going.
My hand on the mic switch.
No, don't cut him off. He's good. It's my fault. I gave him booze.
Yeah, it's true. It's Matt's fault.
It is my fault. Speaking of which, I need more booze.
So now everyone was like, you're really good at computers. Why don't you do that? I'm like, how am I going to do that for a living? Nobody's going to, like, take me seriously, even though I'm, like, awesome at it.
Well, it turns out that, like, people really need their computers fixed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in the 90s, in the late 90s, so Windows 95, people needed their computers fixed a lot. Because in Windows 95, like, was when really the internet was a thing.
Well, that was a double thing. So one is Windows 95. Was a train wreck of bugs and exploits and misnomers, and also people had no idea what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was both.
Yeah. Well, so
it was PepCap problems and actual Microsoft problems.
I blamed Microsoft for a lot of things when I was younger, and come to realize that it wasn't their fault. They had no idea what was coming. They had no idea.
They could have predicted. No, I disagree with that. So, totally seriously, like, Gates had all the pieces to figure out what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, he could have figured it out. What really happened in that time is that the driver base was exploding, and you needed something like open source. This is where Linux won. This is the battle.
That is where Linux won. Yeah.
This is where Windows 95 is where Linux won.
Microsoft was not fast enough.
Nobody took it seriously. I mean, nobody. Even the people who could take it seriously didn't take it seriously until Windows 95 came out. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, okay, this is a huge problem.
We need an alternate
because there were just so many different drivers coming. I mean, it was every generation of computers because there was so much cloning. You know, it was called cloning back then because it was all back from the original clean room with the compact BIOS. And there were so many different versions of computers, and there was so much money to be made, it was just exploding by an order of magnitude every generation. And there was just so much hardware out there. There were just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pieces of hardware. And they just didn't have the infrastructure in place of Microsoft to make all those drivers play nice together.
That's what we call the golden days.
They didn't really isolate them from each other and the way that they do now in their software. So, like, it was a double problem. One is the operating system wasn't sandboxing them in any way. And the other one was that it was just because they weren't sandboxing and there were so many different drivers, the odds of being able to stomp on even a meaningful fraction of the interactions were almost zero. So everybody would ship a driver with their thing, and they would just interact with the other drivers in unforeseen ways. And in Linux, that wasn't the case, because you had the source code, and even if it was a case and you found the interaction, you just fix it. You got the source code for this driver, the source code for this driver, and you go, I fixed it.
Right.
And the result was a more stable operating system. Mm-hmm. But they could have, I don't know what they could have done about it. I mean, in hindsight, we know what they could have done about it. But at the time, I don't know what they could have, but at least they could have seen it coming. They could have seen the exploding hardware platform that was in the interactions. They could have sandboxed more.
They could have sandboxed.
They could have sandboxed the hardware drive.
Was that a thing back then? Was that like even a theory back then? I don't know.
Well, it was, because it was heavily used in the Unix space.
Unix always had security.
But Unix was always
from the get go.
Unix was always designed, built to design, built to spec, and had an HCL. HCL is a hardware compatibility list. Mm-hmm. So when you have a hardware compatibility list, you know...
Isn't that HCL?
Yeah, HCL.
That's there you go.
Was I mumbling? I'm sorry.
I think you said DL, but...
I meant to say HCL if I said HCL. So I was mumbling. That was a mumble, folks. That was not... I did not say a D. I meant to say... I'm going to keep drinking. Anyway, so, the HCLs were... I feel like this is some sort of voodoo doll of me. Anyway, so the HCLs were essentially what it is you have a list of blessed hardware that you know works and have you tested with each other. And in the old days, it was much more common. Now you don't see it because the thing to beat is Linux, and there's so much hardware that's already kind of all written into the same kernel. They're all sitting there together, so the entire kernel team can help test it and to root out the problems. So
it's amazing how
Microsoft's adopted a process like that. I don't know if you know this, like in-house.
Microsoft always looks to Linux for good ideas.
Yeah, I mean, when they started their move towards more open source, more SaaS, they really started, said, okay, they just flattened all the siloing inside of Microsoft, and they said, okay, people should be able to look at each other's codes and help each other, and just that alone kind of created like a mini open source space, and that's when their drivers started getting better.
Right. They were like, well, we do all this collaboration tools. Wait a minute, let's use them.
I mean, it's just when there's thousands of things, it's really hard to make them coordinated. Keep going. How did you get into tech again?
I don't know. You know, honestly. So what? I don't want to toot my own horn because I'm not really, you know.
You think, my wife's telling me to bring milk. I mean, people love the show.
I mean, you know, I hate to say it because I just hate to sound like a dick, but I'm awesome at what I do. So.
And what is that? Give details on it.
It's exactly what I did when I first started with computers. Oh no. Is I learned the shit out of. Sorry, I get one of those.
Yeah, that's fine. No, dude,
I learned the shit out of a system. Yeah. I like learn it. Like I understand it on a degree that most people don't. Like I look. Yeah, I don't want to say like, you know, that movie like. Beautiful Mind. I'm like, I'm not like that guy.
Right, right.
Like, because, you know, he was like way, way beyond. But like when I look at a software.
Right.
I look up into this guy and I can see like how it works, like, and like a giant chart in my head. Like, so like, you know, once I learn all the pieces of it, I am like awesome at that. So like, I know exactly where it's going to go wrong. I know how to fix it. I know how, like, right. I know where like I need developers to say this piece is wrong and this is why and this is what you need to do to fix it. Like so
you're all about studying the hell out of it and get to a point where it's literally just modeled in your mind.
Yes.
And you can just get in there and get the details. So, like, so we're actually different like that. I'm all about, I just want to know how everything works. I'm just curious. And my problem is I get bored. So once I have a pretty good general idea how it works, I'm like, okay, whatever, next thing.
Yeah.
But you just keep going.
Yes.
Yeah, you just can't. That's actually...
I'm like Ant-Man. I'm like, I'm down there in like the molecular level. I'm like...
Well, right, you're in the quantum realm where time
matters. I think you discussed...
Spoiler warning.
I think you discussed the quantum realm with another guy you were talking about on this show.
Yeah, yeah. So we had an engineer whose favorite hobby is physics, and we were talking a bit about the quantum space.
Did he have a degree in it?
I don't believe he does have a degree. I think his degree is in engineering. He took enough physics courses and he loves it enough that he really knows it.
He just now has to do the deep dive.
Right, right.
So, yeah. so that's me.
So like, that's that manual skill where you read it from front to back, and everybody else gets to page 50, and they say, okay, that's enough that I can get this done, and they stop,
yes.
And you just keep going.
I keep on digging, and that's where people are like, what is wrong with you, man? But I love it. Like and it's not even like a difficult thing. I can use a software.
Yeah, it's a struggle for me to do that, but
I start using a software, and in my head I'm like, this is the logic behind it, and it's like just from using it like once, and then I use it again, and I'm like, more pieces, and like as I'm using the software, and then something goes wrong, it breaks down, and someone goes, oh, that broke down because this, and I'm like, oh, there's more pieces, now I have more of the puzzle,
right.
So like by the end, and I don't write code, like, well, I do write some code, but like I understand code.
Yeah, you write some
and
code.
I write some code, and so like I get so like, almost like, you know, and I'm not Neo, like I'm not that awesome.
Yeah.
I don't like
nobody's Neo. That's imaginary.
I don't look at them.
That's imaginary,
I don't, like,
dude.
Look at the computer and I see the code scrolling in front of me. That's like not how that works.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, I like can envision like the logical parts in my head and how they connect and how they're working together.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. I just assumed that that's how everybody worked with computers.
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed that, yeah, everybody does that. Until I found out one day that that's not how it worked, and most people don't.
So most people do what I do, but they're not. They're also not curious.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Most people just get, you know, use the computer to accomplish a task to the minimum level. Right, right. They just try a few things. If it isn't obvious how to do it, they ask someone who knows how to do it. They teach them just enough that they can get the thing barely done that they want to do, and then they promptly don't do it anymore and forget about it and don't wonder how it works.
Right.
So, so that typical user space. So there's actually people in the computer, successful people in the computer space, who are also like, I'm all about, compiling unlike things. You know, I love like just taking, you know, this and this and putting them together, and everyone's like, chocolate and peanut butter, no one ever thought of that. Like,
nice.
that's my space, you know. I love that space, and the problem with it, of course, is if you're not constantly finding new things, you have no value. You know, so that's a real downside. But for you, becoming the reference on a topic in a specialization, becoming super specialized, you know, you can't beat it, you know. And I really think that I'm glad that you finally got into that space. So what kind of software were you working on? That, I mean, like, what most people don't realize about the tech industry is that most jobs, when you're either programming or you're fixing problems or debugging things, you're not doing it for Microsoft Windows. You're doing it for a piece of software that business needs to get their work done.
Yes.
You know, so what kind of software have you worked on in the past?
I'm going to start from the way beginning. So back in the day when I was talking about like the DOS 2.14.
Right.
My dad brought home a software package. You might have heard of it, Lotus 1-2-3.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, what is
right
this
now thing? Right now, like, three people over in the show are like, Lotus!
Yeah!
Windows ain't done until Lotus won't run.
No, right.
Look that one up, yeah.
That's awesome.
You don't have to see. This is for the viewers.
Yeah, so, like, and I was like, what is this? He's like, this is called a spreadsheet. He's like, you can do math. I was like, math, really? What else can you do? Hey, you can do math. I was like, oh, math, okay. I was like, okay. Oh, look, there's an F button. F1. F1's the help button. Tells you what all the commands do. F1.
Yes, that's true. For a decade and a half, F1 was always the help button. Now it isn't, but like it was consistent. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It really was F1 for a long time.
Yep. I was like, wow, there's a lot of stuff this can do. It doesn't just do math. It does all kinds of things. And then, so like, you know, I was like, I played around with that. And then my dad brought home another software called DBase 3 Plus. I was like, what does this do? He's like, it's a database. Like, what's the database? A database is like what Excel does, except you can have more of them in one space.
See, if you were on a farm, this would be your dad bringing a tractor and a chainsaw home.
Yes.
And you'd be like, what do these do?
Yeah.
And then you'd play with your chainsaw and your tractor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my dad didn't tell me, like, how to use it or, like, what really, like, you know, what he used it for. I think he showed me, like, a spreadsheet once that he had.
So he was, your dad was kind of a geek. He was a tech.
He was, like. Yeah. He was definitely a tech.
Mm-hmm.
He was a program at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he didn't.
That's another thing I'm polling to find out who, you know, is STEM working or not, you know. Because of course, if it's a bloodline thing, if it's in the family,
mm-hmm.
you know. And yeah. of course, guess what we're finding out? Same goddamn thing that it is everywhere else, right? Where yeah, some people it's nature, some people it's nurture,
a little bit of this, a little bit of that,
and everybody who's like it's nurture are just crazy and not helping,
right? Yes.
Yeah.
My dad, bless his soul, he's not with us anymore. He was a very stubborn guy.
And I remember.
He was a very smart guy. He was brilliant. He was very intelligent. Unfortunately, he stopped at a certain point and kind of just thought he knew everything that he needed to know. And programming continued on and evolved into something new. So my dad, and I found this out one time when, you know, you always look up to your parents up until a certain point, and you're like, oh my God, he's just a human being.
Yeah, yeah. You pop out a couple kids within 6 months, you're like, whoa.
Well, this was, yeah, I mean, yeah, and so.
And the Neo kind of, whoa.
I like, took, whoa. You're like, oh my God, he's not superhuman. So.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, and he, I think he felt it when I realized that that wasn't, like, a thing anymore. And he was sad. But anyway, that's a different story. Though that's mm-hmm. not for this show.
Right. Whatever you want, man.
But I recognized it when he said, programming hasn't changed, right? It's still, like, input, process, and output. And I was like, oh, my God. God, that's from like 50 years ago. Oh my God, there's objects and methods and what's that other thing and concatenation functions and.
So where were you learning that stuff from? Because you don't have like a computer science degree or anything.
Well, I took some computer science courses.
Okay. So some of it was college.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about the concepts, you know.
I mean,
figure out what he missed, right?
Yeah. I mean. Learning programming is that's important if you're in computer science. Like I
more than ever.
I think
you don't want to deploy servers, you got to program.
I feel for the people who are like, you know, in IT and didn't actually like ace assembler and C and you know those sort of rudimentary courses.
So just today. In there was a question that went out. How many people have actually written, you know, direct instructions to the processor? Like 5 hands went up, and I was one of them. So actually, it's a lot of people for you to feel bad for. So
I'm good, thanks.
Can we get coffee? Is that possible?
You said I can make some.
Is that possible?
I'm sorry, man.
Is there any way?
I'm not. Yeah, I feel bad. I don't want to put too much work on them, but you know.
Right. Yeah, that's cool.
I'm sorry.
I've been abusing your engineer, but I like him. I think he's cool.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
I'm not going to tell him that right now.
He's part of the show. I mean, he really is.
That's awesome.
You know, and I mean, like when I first came to the studio, I was expecting, you know, basically just it was really meant. It was just kind of a happy accident. It was just meant to fill in the space
mm-hmm.
until I built my own studio, and I really like working with them. So
I
know what they're doing.
It's funny. When I listened to your show the first couple times, I was like, do 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 do. So I pictured it a lot different. I was like, all right, Matt rented a space. put up a camera, you know, has a computer recording his thing. That's what I just assumed was going on.
Right. And that's what most people do. Right.
And then, like, I heard another voice. I was like, who's that? Like, it was like your engineer. I'm like, he has an engineer.
Is that God?
That's like a real radio show. He's got like an engineer. He's like an Opie and Anthony right now.
Right.
It was like a Howard Stern happening up in here.
Wow, I went from a guy alone in his basement to like an international sensation in one synapse. That's awesome.
I figured, you know, he's got an engineer. He must be something. It must be really something big. But no, that is...
Well, they've helped make the show much better. And, you know, so let me tell you why we're live and why I do live video. Mm-hmm. And you can stop me if you don't think this is true. But for me, one of the things that's great about this format is that it's not really for now. It's for the future. This is where we're heading. Mm-hmm. I'm a futurist. Yes. So we're sitting in the future right now, in my mind. And I mean, like, I just heard...
I thought there'd be more neon in the future.
Where are my flying cars? Where are my flying Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, with our first guest, Isaac, was that's where the Segway thing came from. He's like, I thought there'd be more Segways in the future.
Yeah.
It was a similar conversation. Yeah, no, there aren't enough. Do you know that the owner of Segway died on a Segway when his Segway went off a cliff? This happened a few months ago.
I really am fighting back laughter.
Just forget it, dude. He's dead. He's not going to be offended.
It's just so ironic.
I mean, what a great... And that's our shtick, is Segway. So, like, it's like, forget it, man. You know?
That's like, you know, the classic, I invented a technology, and the technology is what killed me.
Dude, it's like a supervillain from a comic book.
Oh, man.
Right. Like it's like Doc Ock or something, you know?
Ooh, perspective.
I mean, like, I'd like, maybe a Segway was just angry. I'm tired of you stepping on me. And yeah. We're going down together.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. Ghost of the Machine. So, I mean, speech and video and speech synthesis is there. I mean, it's not kind of there. There was just, this is just at the news. Google actually put together an AI that was good enough to make reservations with like a maitre d' at a restaurant. And he didn't know he wasn't talking to a human.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it is awesome.
Pass the Turing test.
But it's also terrifying because you can use any voice you want in there.
Mm-hmm.
So literally watching live audio right now, forget about it. Pre-recorded, edited audio or video could just be a total lie.
Yeah.
But even live audio could be a lie right now.
That could be a robot right now. You wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. Well, you would know because they're not there with video yet.
Like,
they can do video, but it's really, really, you know, there's a limited group of people who can do live video editing, but it's really expensive and complicated, and it's hard to do something specific, especially with a show that's this long. So one of the many reasonings for all the parameters of the show is that you are you and I'm me and we're really talking and this is not a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we're lying, the show itself is not a lie.
That's true.
It's not technically possible in 2019 for the show to be a lie. So, and that's not going to be true for much longer. Edits are lies, man. I mean, that's what they really are.
Well, I mean, you know.
I mean,
yes.
I mean, in the most, you know, loving possible way. I mean, they are. I mean, the edits are great. But
edits
they're
are
also
like
lies.
The lies you tell your kids.
Yeah, yeah.
To make their lives a little better.
Well, you know, this is one of the reasons I got so freaked out. There was
kids, you should never lie. Especially to your kids.
Yeah. And we, no. Yeah, you should lie once in a while. You really should, because you don't just tell people what you think. Listen, visible thought bubble guy. You don't just tell people what you think right off the bat. You got to censor yourself a little bit, right?
I do. Like,
yeah, yeah. But no, that's fine. I mean, I've done it too. Somehow, amazingly, I don't think I've done it that badly on the show. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just because sitting in this position is good for me, or I've just done the right amount of speedballing, or I've been just lucky. But, like, for whatever reason, you know, I had a lot of time doing tech talks in front of Lilog in front of a group of people.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of practice. And
that's
like,
a lot of practice,
this is a weird skill I have, and I don't think a lot of other people have this.
Mm.
Everyone feels like I can do that, and they can. After 20 years of practice.
You were always the one that we sent out to
Right, to meet new people, to interact with new people. Like,
yes.
Let's send an away team, Matt and someone else. I was in the away team always.
Yes, you were
right?
always in the away team.
I was always in the away team.
And you always came back alive.
I always came back alive.
I can't
alive.
Say that for the rest of the team.
Well, you wouldn't know what, you don't want to know what I said about everybody else in the team to keep myself alive, but I came back alive.
Yes.
Yes, so now I've gotten better at playing both sides, so it's not as obvious anymore.
And, you know, we also had a method. We were like, all right, Matt brought people back. Now we make that look silly, and right. then we look okay.
Right. They were completely destroying me before the show. I mean, everybody. It was just like there were people just running in from the hallway, just like, yeah, look, it's Matt. Yeah, what a doofus. And honestly, it was really funny, so I just let it go.
That, I don't know what it is, man. You had like this weird vibe where people were like, that guy is just sick.
Well, it's the last show we were talking about this. Actually, it was it gets weird at this age. So I think that started to break. So actually, it happened to me just naturally, and then I started using it. So I'm going to just be blunt here. I manipulated quite a few people, and here's exactly how I did it. So I would manipulate people by letting them think that I was dumber than I was on purpose. Mm. I would actually play stupid and let them underestimate me and then crush their dreams and hopes.
Nice.
Right when they went to crush mine, usually. Usually got to do it right on target. Like I was just like a karma smart bomb.
Well, it's funny. It's
and,
funny
but now you... when you get to your age, you know, it's like, you know, when the gray hairs start coming in, people just think you're dumb.
Yeah,
it doesn't really like people who are not necessarily bad people just start thinking you're dumb if you play dumb. So I've had to step it up and okay, actually I do know what I'm talking about.
Right. Da, yeah. Da, 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 da. I get you.
So, yeah, I mean it's kind of like, you know, not that I can't self-deprecate. There's no bigger critic of me than me. Well, maybe my wife. There's no bigger critic of me than and my wife. Well, maybe Mark Mendoza. There's no bigger critic of me and my wife and Mark Mendoza. Maybe you too. I don't know. That's why I invited you on the show. Because who else could knock me down a few pegs?
It's true.
And you guys did.
Sometimes you need it.
Yeah, sometimes I need it. Sometimes I just like it. Maybe I've gotten weird, you know? Yeah. Like, bring it. It's fun.
I haven't had it in a while.
Cool. So that was interesting about your tech background.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah, I was just getting into the good stuff.
No, keep going.
DBase 3 Plus. I don't know if you heard of it.
Dude, most people don't know what DBase 3 Plus is. Keep going. Tell me what it is.
So that was like the predecessor, the successor to DBase 2.
Right.
Which was the successor to DBase.
Right. Yeah, obviously.
Written by, I believe it was written
people
by...
People don't want to count, man. Come on.
I believe it was put...
You're messing with me now.
Put into the world by a company called... I want to say it was Ashton Tate, but I don't think it was Ashton Tate.
Perfect. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. I'm sorry. I'll do a mug.
Boom.
Great. You can just bring it here. I'll pour us.
Landfill, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks for the landfill.
The... My organization that I work for now is very green, and like they totally bash you for anything you put in a landfill.
Right.
Where do you think that's good? Take
it, Bernie.
Which is what?
Yeah, Bernie.
No.
Okay.
Where is that good?
No, that's great. It's perfect. Thanks so much.
Not to say that they do it with bad intention. And it's just like they want to save the planet. I mean, that's kind of their thing. But
someone today, just today, got overexcited about me using a ceramic cup. I was a little too overexcited. I'm like, dude, landfills are the mines of the future. You're robbing our children.
Dude, I had to get an aluminum coffee mug with a lid that kept my coffee warm for 4 hours because they had a meeting, and in the meeting it was like a meeting where the whole IT department comes together for these all hands meeting, and they're like, yes, and we found that there's a lot of. This might not have been in the tech all hands meeting.
No, we did this in our.
This might have been
too.
In like the floor meeting that.
Yeah, when I was doing the 9-to-5 thing.
There's been a rise in paper cup usage. We hope that you will get yourself a mug, so that we can use less paper. And you know, I totally think that's awesome, but like I had to spend like $8 on a mug.
Yeah.
They even give you mugs, so it's like really sad.
Any science experiments in the mug?
No.
No.
No. Okay. No, but it's so...
The yeah, mine when you I go on vacation, come back, and there'll be a forest in there.
<that's scary. laughs> my company, they were like awesome because like they're like, welcome aboard, and here's a mug for your coffee. So they give you a mug, like a mug, like a regular mug, so that you don't use the paper mugs. But like I had an unfortunate incident because I'm a clumsy klutz, and
tell me about the unfortunate incident.
Taking my coffee mug, and I go to put it up on my shelf, and my overhead shelf thing with the thing that comes down and closes. I forget what that's called.
Yeah, it's called a cabinet.
Continue.
All right.
It's going to be like that.
Yeah, I can get it back.
So I'm going to put it, I'm like fumbling around. It was like a particularly stressful day, and I'm fumbling around. And I got to leave, like, I got to leave my office at 5. No later than like 5:03. Otherwise, I'm late home by 20 minutes because I work in the city now. So I missed the subway that gets me to the train on time. So I'm like rushing around. I got to throw my laptop in the bag and my power cord. I just put my coffee mug up on a shelf. Missed the shelf. Comes crashing down on my desk and into a billion pieces. I was like, no, they gave me that mug. Went to ask for a new one. They're like, no, that's only for new people. So I was like, oh, man, my one opportunity of saving the Earth.
We're just going to have to go ahead and ask you to buy yourself a new mug there, Brad. Thanks. That would be great. We'd appreciate it if you did that.
And
thanks,
I did.
Brad.
I did. I get it. You know.
That's my office space
impression. You can't just, I know.
Thanks a lot. Go ahead and just do that, please. Thanks.
Yeah, we just need you to buy a new mug. That'd be great.
It's not in the budget for the company. It's just not, the money's not there.
So we like to save the new mugs for
any responsibilities.
The new employees.
Yeah. The old employees get to keep their old mugs.
I can't buy a bash on my current position because I love the organization I work for right now.
Great.
Very progressive.
Right.
And it makes me smile that I work there. But anyway, so DBase 3, basically a relational database.
So what was the difference between Lotus and DBase?
Well,
was that realization big for you?
It was huge. Now, in a spreadsheet, you could have a table. Mm-hmm. In a relational database, you can have a table and another table and another table, and they can be connected by a field. So that if you updated one table, it updated the data in this table, and updated the data in this table. And
right.
Now, like, that's when the real magic started happening. And I used that, and the first thing I did was I talked to my brother. He was into dinosaurs at the time. And I'm like, I'm making a game, and you're going to help me. Because you know a lot about data, dinosaurs. He was 8.
And the beatings continued until you had a dinosaur game.
He was happy to be involved. He was 8, and he knew everything about every dinosaur.
Thanks again, man.
That ever walked the earth. And I was like,
yeah, perfect. Perfect. You can't even taste the poison.
Oh, hell yeah. If you taste bitter almonds, let me know.
Oh, I didn't tell you that this is also a cult. Continue.
Did you only poison his or both of ours? Oh, no. Hey, man, how come it says Kool-Aid on the side?
Yep.
Sorry.
You don't use red cups. It's too obvious.
Site 22, watch out.
I was telling Matt before that I think you're an awesome engineer.
Thank you.
But I haven't met a lot of them, but, you know, kudos.
Yes.
Thanks.
Dude, you're drunk rambling, man. You only have one drink.
I had two, man.
All right.
Two glasses of wine.
I love you, man. I love you.
I love you too, man.
I love you,
bro. You know, I feel bad because I was like kind of busting on him before and making him get me M&M's and stuff. And I don't mean to be like that.
No. He knew to not take you seriously.
All right.
Everyone was warned. The whole floor has been prepared for weeks.
I got this dude coming on my show. Just let him do his thing. He doesn't mean any harm.
We got to get this on the record before the video gets wonky.
Yeah.
Before the AI takes over.
But yeah, so I
Hmm?
Oh. We probably missed, while you were gone, we probably missed like half the audio.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. You still get hear it. It gets a little muffled.
Raise the gain.
Yeah. It took me like 12 episodes to get it right. I still blow it once in a while.
I said to my brother, who knew everything about dinosaurs at the time, I was like, we're making a big game. It's going to be like a quiz game about dinosaurs, and you're going to help me. So I used it, and so the cool thing about DBase 3 was that, like, and the cool thing about DOS in general, which you don't get today, which is why I'm not a programmer, is that you lived in a world that was a box. And the box was a grid, and it had 80 this way, and it had 24 this way, and that's what you had to work with.
Right, right.
And I could live in that world.
My comp sci programs were written like that.
It's basically a piece of graph paper.
Right, right.
So I could make dinosaurs, and I could make dinosaurs animated in DBase 3+.
Ah!
I wrote functions, I wrote procedures, and I wrote a database backend that had the answers, and I had the questions, and...
When you got this all done, how did your dad react to this?
I don't think he even knew that I did that.
I don't remember this. I never saw this program.
You wouldn't have. It was before I even knew you.
Wow.
I was like, my brother was 8, so I must have been 13.
Dude, this is pretty hardcore stuff. That's actually pretty difficult to do, especially, like, back then, you know.
It was just, I was like, well, I could do ifs, I can use variables. I was like, ooh, variables? What can I put in those? Anything? Oh, this is awesome!
That's awesome. I'm going to use that as a sound clip for the show. The discovery of variables. Anything?
I'm using memory. I can actually access this. It's fantastic. Wham, this is real? Okay.
And I thought this was going to be boring.
I'm sure it's boring for somebody. If my wife was watching this right now, she'd be like, oh my god, this is fucking terrible.
Why are you talking about databases?
Stop talking. She's like, she's watching, so she's talking about...
Make some explosions in your gut.
She was talking about watching it live, and I was like, yeah, I think you can watch it live. I think it is actually live.
It is live,
yeah. It's technically live. So I think you're like, she's like, yeah, but I got to put the kids to bed, so maybe I won't. I'm like, all right, well, whatever happens. If she were watching, it right now, she'd probably be like, oh, yawn, and be sleeping.
Sleepy face. Is there a sleeping emoji? Is there one that's more sleeping?
And I love you, babe, but she doesn't. She's not a big fan of technology.
She knows. Good, you said it though, because of the poison. You know, you'll start.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, so that's the end. But anyway,
we're done.
So yeah, so like, and even at that time, so I made this whole game. It was like a 20 question game, and like if you got the right answer, like the dinosaur would move and do like something cool. What else? So,
well, based on Jurassic Park, I know that I think it's a Stegosaurus is really good at pooping. It was a massive pile of poop. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we did that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to spoil Jurassic Park for you.
1 month old, jeez.
Yeah. I know. I love that. I love it when people get mad at things, spoilers that are like for 30-year-old movies and stuff. That's the best kind of outrage.
What was your next? Wasn't Hitchcock?
Like, I was planning on watching that sometime this century.
Yep.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah. So that's great. That's a really cool
story. And even at that point, like, I was just like, oh, anybody could do this. This is like a thing. Everyone's probably doing this at home.
No, dude.
That was the disconnect. I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a computer.
Not everybody can do
that. It was
that.
In my basement.
Everybody has
things.
The software to do that available now. Because this is the great thing about Linux and the Raspberry Pi is it's just totally accessible.
I know.
You get that little piece of hardware for $29, and you can just, there's all these programming languages that come on it, and you're done. You'd be a little SD card, you know, buy a keyboard and a mouse, and you're good.
I know.
And I mean, it was a problem when we were younger. The stuff was expensive that
it
you're
was
talking about.
Super expensive.
Yeah.
Now that teaching kids, my son goes on Scratch, and he's like having a ball. I'm like,
my kids are doing Scratch too.
Can you imagine if we had Scratch when we were kids?
Oh, yeah.
You'd be like,
dude, I asked my mom I mentioned this in another one. I'll probably avoid mentioning this for a few shows. But I asked my mom for a C compiler, and it was $300. She said no.
No.
Yeah. It's not her fault. It's not her fault. I don't blame her.
Well, that's the crap.
Damn, imagine.
That's the crap thing about DOS and Windows is that we can get like Wacom C.
Mm-hmm.
I tried it. It's garbage.
Right.
Sorry, Wacom. I don't like it.
It's over, man. It's over.
But you go
into the past.
You go into Unix, GCC is right there.
Right.
There, it's free.
Yep.
Thank God for GNU.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, I think Richard Sommer was in town recently. I'd love to get him on the show. And yeah, so we have some big. I have plans. I don't know if he's going to come to the show, but
sure, like him.
This isn't an announcement. You know, I won't announce until I announce it. You know, but so I heard that you didn't watch Endgame.
I didn't watch Endgame.
I think you're the only person on Earth. Based on the sales numbers.
That is because...
Assuming that the piracy is the problem that the MPAA says it is, you may be the only person on Earth that did not watch Endgame.
I watched Iron Man when it came out, like Iron Man, the first one.
Right.
I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And I watched Iron Man 2, and I'm like, that was pretty cool, but like pretty much the same. And I watched Avengers, and I was blown off the planet. I was like, holy cow, that's everything a movie should be.
Right.
And then, you know, it kept on going.
You were a fan.
I was a fan.
Right.
I watched Captain America. I watched Winter Soldier. I watched Thor and Ragnarok, which
Ragnarok.
Was like,
duh.
I mean.
I don't understand why people weren't more posts going around about it. I was so like, this is the best movie ever. And everyone's like, yay. Yeah. I'm like, they actually put the Immigrant Song in a movie.
I know, right?
Just that alone.
That was awesome. And I watched Guardians of the Galaxy, and I was like, well, that was silly. And then I watched...
In a good way.
Well, yeah, that's true, but...
Well, you see, you don't understand that Batista is you. You know, that you're just literal guy, and just blah, blah, yeah. blah.
I was like, why is there a fox?
Who is this man-angel that has fallen onto our spaceship? He's not a man-angel!
So then and I was like, this is like, and it was ramping up, and it, you know, everything that has a beginning has an end, and I always forget that.
Yeah, right.
So, and you know, I couldn't see it coming.
Including actors' contracts, yes.
I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is going to be beautiful forever.
It's not a cartoon. They're actors. I mean, yeah. They get old. And it just doesn't work. Captain America with a walker, you know, work for the end of the movie, not the middle of the movie.
I mean, that's true. So when I got to this one with Infinity War, like things were getting pretty freaking intense when with Avengers, the one where he lifted part of the planet, the AI guy lifted part of the planet.
Ultron?
And yes, Age of Ultron. Thank you. Yeah. Shop God.
Yeah, they did a whole thing on Avengers.
Nice.
We did a rapid fire for every movie.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good show.
So now my son's like, I want to watch Endgame. And I'm like, you're not watching Endgame until you watch all of the other movies first and make a decision on whether or not you want to watch Endgame. Because you're not going to jump.
You made him smoke the whole pack, didn't you?
Well, I told him there was something like he could skip out on. Like you know, you don't have to watch Guardians of the Galaxy.
He's thinking now.
You can skip Iron Man 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's a couple of ones you can skip.
Yeah, that was weak. That was Iron Man 3 was a little weak. I think we all saw it.
Yeah.
We all saw that was weak.
All right, yeah, we get it. You make a lot of money. Okay. And so this Infinity War, even like Winter Soldier, Civil War was amazing. I was like, wow, they did something different. Like, you don't even know whose side to be on. This is fantastic. And then like this one came out, Infinity War, and I was like, oh no. They took it like into a place.
Were you happy for most of the movie, and then at the end you were like, what?
Yes. Okay. Just like everybody, yeah. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, but most of us realized they were going to make another movie, right? You knew that they were going to make another movie, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But at that point I was like, I don't want them to make movies. Like to me it ends there. I'm like, all right. This reality, like there's this suspending your disbelief, mm-hmm. and then there's like, all right, this is no longer even in the realm of realities where I can suspend my disbelief. There is no way they can fix that. Like in my head, there's no way they can fix that. So if they fix that in the next movie, like I'm not interested.
They fixed it.
I'm sure they did.
It wasn't the best. There were problems, but it was still very good. Mm-hmm. They did a good job of fixing it.
It's all that Thor's fault, man. Had he just aimed for the head?
Dude, you gotta watch the movie. You gotta watch the movie because this is you need the look. We live in a pop culture, whether you like it or not, right? No? Actually, I think the superhero movies are dead. I think that's it.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Yeah, I think they blew their load after this. So.
But they're entering the new phase. You got Far From Home.
I'm sure right now, if a Marvel exec even took me 1% seriously, they would have a heart attack just hearing that. But I think they're dead. Because I think what happened is, I think that there was all of this pent-up energy to give comic books, which are basically just storyboarded movies ready to go, dumbasses.
I know, right?
Gave comic books more cred from like the 60s on. Mm-hmm. And there's all this pent-up energy. I think they just blew their load. I think that they're going to, you know, I think maybe it won't be the next movie or the next movie, but sometime in the next 5 years, it's just going to go. A movie that's good and should have done well is just going to go. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the DC stuff is the warning.
Too bad. And it's too bad for silly little DC. Mm-hmm. They got some good characters. Not all, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, like Aquaman, guys, are you kidding? Like, honestly.
Wait, you didn't like Aquaman? I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was a better one.
It wasn't better than Wonder Woman, for sure.
But, I mean, Batman doesn't kill...
Captain America, come on.
Yeah, that's true. But Wonder Woman was a direct rip-off of Captain America.
This is true.
Yeah.
With the worst final act.
But you know what?
Yeah, well, you know, and in fairness to the woman that plays Wonder Woman, you know, most of the movie was good, and she was amazing.
She was awesome.
She was awesome.
She did a great job.
I bought it. You know, I totally bought it. But and actually, all the actors in those movies were good.
Captain Kirk. Look, was in that?
Yeah. That was pretty good. And I know who I'm thinking. What's his name from Harry Potter? The actor that played the bad one, bad guy.
He was in that.
Yeah. Oh, he's a good actor. But
I didn't even see him.
Yeah, he was he's the bad guy from the end. Remember? He turns out he was one of the friends, and then he turns out he's the evil doer that she has to fight off. Or
that was him.
Yeah.
The makeup was good.
Yeah.
They didn't get a job. I didn't recognize him.
I don't know. Maybe the name's wrong. I don't even. I'm terrible with celebrity names, but he's looking it up. But
Harry Potter.
Because I don't think that was him.
Okay. The one that played the werewolf. That was him.
Oh.
That guy.
Right, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I just saw him the whole time.
Gary Oldman.
That's it. No? Maybe? This is not my strength. Anyway.
Gary Oldman?
Yeah. So, screen time. I'm kind of curious what you think about screen time. Do your kids get to play on iPads and iThings and laptops forever, or is there a limit? Do you cut them off at some point?
There's a limit.
There's a lot of conflict over this.
There is a lot of conflict
over this. We're actually pretty... We don't have limits. I mean, we have limits like... There's activities that you can't... You have to participate in, like dinner. But, like... Other than that, if everything's done, if there's nothing else planned, we let them go on the screens. You know, we let them play with the games.
We, my son gets an hour. He's got to finish his homework.
Mm-hmm. Fearless.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
That was like
it. Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
Played Aries.
Yeah.
Aries.
Yeah. Okay. Aries. That was it. Thanks.
My son. He's got to finish his homework before he gets any screen time at all during the week, which means most nights he doesn't get any screen time because third grade, man, they get a lot of homework. What the F?
Yeah. No, the homework's ridiculous. this is a result. So what they're trying to do, this is why we end up getting in a STEM conversation every single episode. Mm-hmm. Most episodes have been women in tech. By the way, I was pretty disappointed in the female showing in the cybersecurity world out there. There's not a lot of females in cybersecurity. We've been really lucky. We know lots of women in tech on the show because it's not good out there.
About cybersecurity. I love cybersecurity.
Continue.
I wish I could be a cybersecurity guy.
See, that's the kind of thing I want to hear. Why?
Because it's just like the technologies for that are really cool. Like sitting there and like opening up your, digging into your firewall and setting the rules and saying, oh man, I set it up so that it's awesome. No one can get in and set up all your internal security and setting up all the rules for people and how they are able to interact with your network. And
right. That doesn't feel annoying and futzy to you?
No, that stuff's awesome. That's like
right.
Really that. So, like, consider that what I told you about software and how I like see it like this up in space, like all the pieces.
Right.
When you think of like cybersecurity, there's so many more pieces. It's like going from a 150-piece puzzle to like a 2,000-piece puzzle.
Right.
You're just like, oh, that's so big, and I'm gonna make this all work.
Right.
But then the problem with that is...
Well, the onion goes all the way from the top to the bottom. And in the past, there was always kind of a bottom-up solution, which is just give Root all the power, let him fix it, you know, or whatever, the administrator,
right,
you know, all the power, and then, you know, and then maybe break it down into roles.
Yeah. You know? That's sort of like how it's been.
Right. And it's kind of a new view where you're turning everything into like an onion, and you're just breaking it down into different layers. And we've had a few cybersecurity folks on here.
Yeah.
So... I mean, I might be able to help you break in, man.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
While I would love to be able to do that, the stress level for that position, like, you have to get it right.
Not if you're doing
every
it right.
Time.
Yeah. No, hold on a second. So, yes and no. See, the thing is, cybersecurity is a journey. It's not a destination. You know, and this is a problem with thinking. Everybody's very interested. This is the problem with letting corporate thinking take over our culture, because in the corporate world, everything has to be measured. So everything needs to be a destination, and really, life's about the journey.
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
And the journey's never over, or life's over. You know, I mean, you kind of don't want the journey to end.
It ends at the end, right?
So, you know, and cybersecurity is a journey because it's also an arms race. So anytime you think you got it locked down, you got a bunch of human beings pointing at you, looking for ways to break through it.
Yes.
And it may not be necessarily at you, but, you know, eventually they will point at you, even if it's casual. You know, if it's an advanced persistent threat, then yes, they're definitely pointing at you. But, you know, I don't worry about it. You shouldn't, if you think you can't manage that stress, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But don't worry about the stress level preventing you from succeeding. That just means the boss isn't really being fair to the process and getting it done.
Which
of course happens all the time too.
That would be the undue stress I put on myself, honestly, and it's beyond a level that I can manage, because I would be so angry at myself if I created this fortress and someone got in. I'd be like, that's it. It's like taking a car and accidentally running over a person. Like, I don't want to drive anymore if I do that, because I've gone to a point where I've lost control to such a point where I just don't want to do that anymore.
Right, I hear you.
Like, I've ruined it.
Well, I think that's what happens to old people. I think when they get old enough that their driving starts suffering. I mean, that's basically what happened with my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I don't think I'm going to out her or anything.
Sure, yeah.
She's gone 20-something years. And at the end, she ran over my foot once. That was funny.
Whoops.
And she murdered a pear tree in someone's front yard, and that was it. You know, she'd had a series of escalating things, and she's like, okay, I'm going to hurt someone. I'm going to stop.
Right, yeah.
You know, and I mean, it was good of her to do that, because you don't actually have to do that. There's no system in place to force you to.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Silly us.
Yeah.
It's not like a three strikes and you're out rule. It's just you can kill. You can accidentally run over as many people as you want.
That's
not true.
What do you think about automation? And oh, sorry. Me?
Matt. Yeah.
Me? It was me this time. See, I told you I still do it. He's like the whole monitor, man. Hand, butt,
you gotta come up with like a different
button.
Yeah, like a flashing red light or something.
You know, that's a good idea. See, look, you're even debugging our studio.
I am.
Yeah.
Hey, you gotta put a counter on the screen for when you go back and edit this.
Right.
I'm learning the system and looking at the things that are wrong with it.
Yes, which endears you to plenty of people, right? I'm sure.
I keep my mouth quiet a lot.
Yeah.
You should see me. And so, like, we have these team meetings where my whole team is in a meeting. So it's called a team meeting.
Yeah.
And it includes, like, the director.
So we're going to have, like, a team meeting. the team is there, the whole team. And you're part of the team. So we're going to need you to go ahead and be there. Yeah. You were razzing me before the show, man.
Yeah, I know I was, but I was off camera.
Yeah, I was off. No, but come on, man. Bring it, man.
I know.
I'm here.
I'm messing with you.
Just nothing illegal, that's all.
And like in a team meeting, I'm like the quietest person because I don't want to let on what I'm thinking. So like But like right now, I'm like in a calm and relaxed environment. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, my guard's not really up. But it's up enough because I know that I'm on camera and like, you know, trying to keep it like relatively professional. Like when I'm in like a position where I'm like nervous and or like anxious, my guard, my filter comes down, and I'm a terrible person when my filter is off.
Yeah,
absolutely horrible.
I really haven't like I don't see it. I just see you as an accurate, honest person. Maybe that means I'm a terrible person.
You haven't seen me like walking in a neighborhood and someone's like grandfather is dying. In a
yeah, oh, I remember that.
Okay, so that's the kind of thing that happens when my filter's off.
So here's a secret about us. So underneath the surface, I really think that we're all psychopaths. And that our conscience is that thing that jumps in and stops us from you know, and that's the unique human evolution. Mm-hmm. So, like, to me, we all have dark thoughts.
Sure.
There's, in fact, one of the quickest ways for me to know if someone's a liar is if they say they never have dark thoughts. Everyone has dark thoughts.
Who doesn't have dark thoughts?
What, I mean, what kind of, a, I mean, I guess it's possible if you put yourself in an environment where there's absolutely no conflict. You know, so you don't ever have thoughts. Mm-hmm. But that's not really, doesn't count as not having dark thoughts. If you don't have thoughts, if that's your method of not having dark thoughts,
yeah,
I don't approve.
It's a little restrictive.
It's a little restrictive, right? You know, but yeah, I think.
I mean, everybody's got their way, their methods. And I'm not going to.
You're not a terrible person. You're not. It's just normal. The question is,
well,
you know,
what happens is if I mean, if we all put our filter so that we don't like you know, totally offend the people that we need to have around us and work with and be with and interact
right.
with. When I'm uncomfortable, my filter comes down, and if I'm uncomfortable, I might just lash out, like,
right,
and say stupid things that
right.
I can't take back. Because when my filter's off, it goes so far to the other end.
Right,
that,
right.
That it's like,
I've been waiting for 10
my
years
God,
to say
you said that? He's a monster.
Well, all right, so let's see if I can tempt you into saying something terrible. So, because it's fun, for fun and profit. So, when it comes to automation, mm-hmm. it's killing jobs. I mean, personally, I've nailed a dozen jobs myself, for sure, and probably more. But I've eliminated people with simple scripts and programs and systems and things like that. And I don't love it. I'm kind of on the fence about whether it's good or bad. Mm-hmm. But what do you think? Is this something that we should... what's the solution? Are we talking about, should we be Luddites and stop automation or slow it down so that we have more time to adjust? Should we do something like UBI, where we're you know handing people paychecks to basically... because we've gotten to the point where we're just recreation, you know? Because, I mean, the business model where we're all doing art for each other ain't going to work, right? And then, or is it going to be like a shorter work week, where you have more time to yourself, more time to work on yourself and make yourself into a better person? Or something else? Or is it not a problem at all?
That's a problem. But it's not. That's not the problem.
Right.
So, like I said before, I lived in England, and what I didn't get to say was that... it's easy for an American in England to get a job and be a superhero.
Right.
Because the work ethic that we have here, the demand that we are under here,
yeah,
to perform.
Is this just a New York thing?
I think it might just be
some
a New
of this
York
is
thing.
A New York thing for sure, because it's definitely easier out there.
Yeah. So it could be just be a New York thing. The demand, it's hard to say, because I've worked.
And
a
by
lot.
The way, I'm not just being mean. I can quantify that. Mm-hmm. Heart attack capital of the world, right?
Probably.
Really? I mean, we are, by that measure at least, we are the most stressful place.
Probably
New York.
I'm Googling it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was true at one point. I don't know if it's true in 2019, but it was definitely true.
So it's funny because I worked in. My previous job, I worked with a lot of people from a lot of different parts of the country, and I found that what you're saying is not necessarily true.
Okay, sure.
I've worked in other places that have had distribution centers and headquarters and stuff where...
They're working hard,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the security guy in Nashville was busting his ass just as much as I was, you know, trying to keep things going. You know,
right.
So
All right, maybe I'm being unfair.
I don't think it is. I think
I could be wrong. I've been wrong on the show before.
It's not
Alabama and Tennessee pass New York. It goes Alabama, Tennessee. Tennessee.
So it was New York at one point then. Right? Well, it makes sense. Nashville. There you go.
Yes.
He's not lying, people.
So it's not really that other parts of the country. It's, you know, big cities that have big industry have big stress.
Are big cities just making us assholes?
Well, like I was saying, so when I moved to England, because of the level of work that I have to do, the level of expectation that's required of me in New York, when I took that to England, they were like, "What are you doing? How is this even possible? How are you so good at everything?" I was like, "I'm not."
I don't know where to go with that.
It's not like that, but like, it's just that, you know, we wake up and get out of bed and put 110% into what we're doing.
Right. Well, some of us do. Some of us are just lazy bastards.
Well, like some of us have, you know, gamed the system and won.
I put my 110% into that.
You did.
I really did.
Yeah, so...
You know, it's a reoccurring pattern with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you go to a place, and on their best day, they put in 100%, you're still outperforming them. Just because you're used to putting in 10% more than the best you can do.
Right.
Okay, so...
Well, I'm glad it's not a big city thing, because we've had New York has doubled. Mm-hmm. In our lifetimes. So if it's a big city thing, there's all these people with no experience being city people here. So if that was making them assholes, they'd be really big assholes right now.
Right.
That's not what I'm seeing out there. People are pretty friendly. Mm-hmm. You know.
You know what?
Disappointingly friendly sometimes, even.
If you go to New York City and you go to the corner and be like, "Dude, what do you call it?" And they'll be like, "Oh, it's just go to the Starbucks, take a right." You know,
I'm in a fantasy world when I go to the city.
People are friendly.
That's how they are. And I'm like, my hands on my wallet. I'm giving people side eye. I'm like ready for a fight. You know, like, I'm like from another planet at this point.
You know, it's not, I mean, we're all people. It's just that there's, you know, when it comes to, and I'm going to pick on capitalism. I am.
Shoot. Bring it.
Capitalism is...
If you go there with this or anything else, I will, generally speaking, I'll play devil's advocate and take the other side.
That's fine.
I've defended socialism on the show, too, so go for it.
So in England, you know, capitalism... Look, any business needs capital. I get that.
Right.
You know, people, I talk about capitalism, and I talk about like the way things work, and people are like, "You don't know how the world works." And, you know, okay, maybe not. Maybe I don't know how the world works.
Right.
Maybe I do, and I just don't like it.
Right.
But I know that, you know, if you're a business, you need some... You have a good idea, you kind of get it started, you get to a point, and you just don't have the resources to keep going. You need some extra capital, you need some investment money. I get that.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, here... That's the stock market. You got crazy people, investors, and you let out some stock, and people throw money at you, and then they pretty much own you.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that there isn't a stock market in some place like England, where I lived and worked there, and I saw how...
So we're really talking about barriers to entry here. Yeah, keep going.
So, you know, over there... I worked for Geek Squad over there, which in England was a startup company. Because here it's like, what do you call it?
It's part of Best Buy in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put your hand, Matt.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So here it's established. Mm-hmm. There it was like a new idea. And they needed money, and they had investors. But it wasn't... And, you know, they had the same problems, but they didn't have it on the same level. Like, there it was like, okay, the funds are running low. We got to change some things. Here it's like, the funds are running low. This isn't performing. We're pulling out. You're dead. That's it. You're gone.
Right.
It's not like that in other parts of the world. So, like, that whole thing, it's like the investors in other parts of the world are like, I believe in this product. I'm going to give you some money. I hope to get a return on it.
Mm-hmm.
I expect to get a return on it because I believe in the idea. Here it's like, oh, I'm going to take a chance. Let's put it on number 6. Spin the wheel. Oh, no, it's crashing. Pull out. You're done. You're out.
right.
So, and so that's
watch
to me.
The Wolf of Wall Street. Not the Wolf of Wall Street. I'm sorry. Watch the Big Short.
I'm afraid I did.
Yeah. So you know. Yeah. That, yeah. It's exactly like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. For sure, Wall Street's like that part of the time.
Part of the time.
90% of the time.
No, there's honest. Not everyone's a lying sack of shit.
Yeah, sometimes some people are honest.
You just let the computers do it, and they just buy all the stock.
I mean, if anything, even in that movie, the good guys were the people who knew what was going on, and they're trying to sound the alarm. They're like, "You people are killing yourselves.
Like, this is going to end badly."
I mean, being on the other side of it, I've been through that. I was trying to get people to buy Bitcoin. I'm like, "It's going to go crazy, guys. I'm not just Ponzi-ing you. I'm not trying to sell you on something. This is a paradigm shift." Mm-hmm. So I've been on the other side of that. It's very frustrating when you're trying to explain to people, when you see something, a model in a market that no one else sees, and you're trying to help them, and they don't want to. And I'm not mad. Of course, that's ridiculous. Why would I be mad? But yeah, there are good people in markets. They're not all bad.
Sure, no. I'm just. I think that there are more wolves in Wall Street than there are humans. And I think that Wall Street, I think, attracts a certain type of people.
What, you don't think they're doing God's work? That was Lloyd Blankfein, by the way, that said that about banks taking people, ruining people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on banks either.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a problem. The problem of scripting is a problem of resources.
Mm-hmm.
That there is just like not enough resources to feed all the people.
Of automation, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Automation, yes. There are not enough resources to feed all the people. So, you know, in a perfect world, I live in a town, right? Town of Oyster Bay.
Right.
In a perfect world, like a utopia world, that town would have food production. It would have technology production. It would have knowledge production. All in that town. And it would be self-sustaining.
Mm-hmm.
And the town next to it would also be.
Mm-hmm.
But in the world that we live in, it's not like that. Because you have, like, you know, in the world we live in, the town next to us has a technology production's maybe getting a little bigger, and our food production's maybe getting a little bigger, but our technology's not. And technology over here says, "Oh, I'm going to buy your technology, and we're going to have one combined technology." Now, this is all these people. Now we have to go work on the farm. Now there's too many people working on the farm.
Right. Yeah, there's a way. So what you're describing is a labor glut, and that's actually what I'm talking about. Where people are debating, you know, shorter work week, UBI. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, so if you want to laugh, the conservatives aren't acknowledging the labor glut, so they're losing the discussion about what to do about it. So de facto, the winner is UBI, and I'm not
UBI?
Universal Basic Income.
Okay.
Where basically everybody gets a check, cut a check.
No matter what they do.
We've created such a utopia, we have so much extra money, we don't even know what to do with it, here's some money. That's essentially the idea of it. And of course, the risk is with that it could become political and people could attach strings to it. You know, you have to march in the parade every Tuesday or you don't get your check, you know. And then all of a sudden, the parade becomes an important thing.
Now you're waiting online for a half hour for toilet paper.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, well, I took it all the way to an end.
There was a few steps in there, including involving stealing underwear, but yes. You jumped a few, yes. But yeah, that's where the slippery slope ends.
Yeah.
So I think that the key here, I think you're right about the labor glut, for sure. You're basically describing the problem I was asking about. I think there is a labor glut, and I think it's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
And we're fine because we're techies, so we can get by in this. We may not be rich, but we'll at least be able to survive. But a lot of people are going to have absolutely zero skills to offer, except for artisan type skills, you know.
Which is important, too.
But there's going to be a labor glut there, too. You know, not everybody's going to be able to... If there's no economy to speak of for necessary... Some products need to be necessary.
Sure.
You know, because that's what entices people to come into the economy in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there's extras and there's perks and stuff like that. So the downside of... some of this is economy of scale. So as things get bigger, they're naturally going to become more efficient and things are going to become cheaper. But... you know, the downside of one thing we can do is we can go local.
So this is how I think when people are unsure about what's happening, it makes sense to go local. And this is why I'm actually very big on states' rights as the purveyors of socialism, which sounds a little weird. But, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, we need government to fix it. And I'm like, I'd like to see the state try it. You know, let the state try it. And I'm even okay with siphoning a small amount of federal money into it. Mm-hmm. I think the key is that you have to treat things like that as experiments and see where they end. Mm-hmm. You can't just turn it on. You can't turn the faucet on and leave the building.
I think too, what I've seen in the political sphere, and I'm not a politician. I'm not really good at following.
I've been into this stuff forever.
I used to follow it a little bit better, and I just got disgusted with it and stopped following it. But
it's gross.
I know it's a mess. But I do see the state government starting to step up a little and saying, listen, this is my state.
Right.
And I got to do what's right for my state. So, listen, federal government.
That's a good sign.
You got to back it up a little bit.
This is people figuring out what's going on. So this is the problem of, you know, when people are looking at globalism, you know, and I'm looking at it like globalism versus localism. Mm-hmm. The problem with globalism is you have this massive economy of scale, and as you get into larger and larger companies and larger government organizations, mm-hmm. you become less and less accountable.
Yeah.
It's an accountability problem when you scale up. And when you go local, it's easier to make people accountable.
Yes.
When you're looking someone in the face, it's harder to lie.
Yeah, why can't we have like...
Except on this show. You can lie all you want on this show.
Why can't we have like an auditor go and audit the government, the federal government?
We do all the time. And then people lie about the auditor was dishonest. And other people say, the people who said the auditor was dishonest are dishonest.
Oh, man.
You know,
and round and round we go.
It just goes around and around. So this is the problem with politics. And the more distant it is, I mean, how would you prove or disprove that? You know, the real problem is, what is truth? This is the problem that we're having.
It's such a good question.
You know, what is, you know, I hate to be the up on the, you know, like the guru on the mountaintop, or at least the point to him. I'm not saying that's me, but, you know, he is out there. There is a mountaintop with a guru on it somewhere, I'm sure.
I picture him having a goat.
A goat.
He's got a goat.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, goats are pretty versatile. And they climb mountains.
They climb mountains, exactly.
Yeah, he's a practical guy because he's a guru, right? Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah, he's got to go. He's got
definitely
got
to have a goat. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but like, you know, so there's something to this. Regardless of whether you like marijuana or you hate marijuana, there's something really interesting happening with all the states basically either decriminalizing or legalizing marijuana. Mm-hmm. This is an exercise in states' rights we haven't seen since the 1800s.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about it because I actually think that this is an opportunity to test out different systems. There's a bunch of different UBI experiments going on. I love that. Regardless mm-hmm. of whether I like UBI or not, I love local experiments. Mm-hmm. That's the way to do it.
Right. See what works.
Right. Don't say, we're going to do this for everybody on the damn planet, and you're going to pay us. Right. Instead say, let's try this here.
Right.
And then if people don't get it when you do that, okay, let's try it here.
Something might work. Something might not work here, but it works here.
Let's try it here. Let's try it here. And the thing is, if it works, you don't need to do it on a grand scale. Right. You can actually just try it here everywhere.
Right.
And then it works anyway, and no one can stop it.
Yes.
Of course, if you're a power broker at the top saying...
That's not going to make me a lot of money.
Big money. Right? You hate this.
Yes.
So this is why you don't hear it pitched on the news in the big media. But this is the way to do it. And I think people are starting to figure this out. Also, I think part of what's happening, a lot of people are very confused about politics, and they're trying to figure out what the hell's going on. People have figured out that they can lie to polls. I mean, it's really like, it's that simple.
Yeah.
You know, I think our parents' generation just like were always dishonest when they answered polls. And I think people are just lying to polls. And that's a lot of the reason that don't look at the polls. Right? We're trying to answer the question, what is truth? Don't look at the polls, because even if the pollsters are completely honest and their methods are perfect, people are just lying to them.
Yeah.
Right? Because they want to sway it one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Instead, go local and get the result. And if you can't trust the results from going local, convince someone else to go local. And keep doing that until you can trust the results.
All right.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
And in that way, you don't have to worry about whether it's socialism or capitalism or, right? It doesn't matter.
Comes back to that black and white again. I'm all the way on this side. I'm all the way on this side.
And the poor fuckers in the middle are getting shot to shit.
That's it.
Yep.
All right, if I take another timeout real quick?
No, I think we're done, actually.
Oh, all right.
I think it's time to call it a night.
All right.
Because I'm pretty tired. We're almost at 3 hours.
Ooh.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about? Or?
Not really. I mean, I'm good.
Right. Did you have fun? Was it a good time?
Yeah, definitely a good time.
We were very silly in the beginning. We got a little serious. You got to tell me about your program
Voltron
adventures. Thanks so much for coming to my show.
Anytime.
Everybody, Brad Dillon.
I don't know about any time, but you're welcome.
Hey, and if you want to come on a panel, let me know.
All right.
We're going to have a panel in a few weeks. So.
Ooh, neat.
See you guys next week. Good night.